want to participate in a Don and Mike show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
That's good cake. It's good cake, man. Thanks, Clementine.
She's great.
Yeah, we have to thank.
Yeah, Tran made me a cake.
Only one way to thank her properly, I think.
Maybe she didn't make me a cake, but it was on my side of the console, and I ate it.
I think it was a cake for the show. Did you eat the whole cake?
No. No, only about a third of it.
My darling Clementine, we thank you for the cake. Oh, my darling Clementine, you got out of the hospital and made the cake for us. It really tastes so yummy. Oh, my darling Clementine. Oh, my darling, oh, my darling. Oh, my darling Clementine. Oh, my gate, all your cake. Oh, my darling Clementine.
There we go.
Clementine, out of the hospital.
Yeah.
Out of the hospital.
Wonderful. And already baking. Isn't that wonderful?
And let me tell you something. You can't even get sick.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Jack.
Gee, hey.
Let me say, I got a ton of stuff to tell you about the weekend, about my fabulous road trip.
Right.
Yes. 1,000 miles in like 36 hours, moving my kid into college.
Oh, my
God. The Olympics, so many things to talk about. Road rage, foot fetish, so many things. All of these things will not be talked about on today's show.
No, Jack.
You got to wait till tomorrow. You must wait until tomorrow.
It will fascinate you.
Hey, Jack, check the calendar.
Today is a very special day, man.
Hey, kids, could I talk to you for about 30 seconds?
Uh-huh.
This is Elvis Presley. If you believe polio is beaten, I ask you to listen.
I'm listening.
Remember me.
Oh.
Now, that's the voice of thousands who know the fight against polio is just as tough as it ever was.
You care.
You're crippled, and the talk vaccine can't help them recover.
Hey, you're crippled.
But you can. Remember polio victims. Join the 1957 March of Dimes today. Now here's a song.
Only if his condition.
Now here's a song.
Now here's a song.
Why didn't he just cure the boy?
Yeah, with his swami hat.
That would please him greatly. Yes, today is August 16th, 2004. We're here. We're doing a live show, and you can call the show. We'll play the tape with the phone numbers and everything. But
sure.
It's a different type of show. It's the Elvis is Still Dead show. It's our 27th anniversary.
Yeah, this is a special show.
The 27th annual Elvis is Still Dead show. Let's start it.
Elvis was my friend.
Good evening. Elvis Presley died today. He was 42. Apparently it was a heart attack. He was found at his home in Memphis, not breathing. His road manager tried to revive him. He failed. A hospital tried to revive him. It failed. His doctor pronounced him dead at 3 o'clock this afternoon. The end, at an early age, of one of the two most spectacular careers in the history of American entertainment, the other being Frank Sinatra's. Long after he became an institution, he was a part of American popular history. Others came along, including the Beatles, but they were all indebted to him, and most of them said so. He died today. Even though he didn't drink, smoke, or drive his own car, he quit breathing at the age of 42.
Right.
Thank you very much.
Jackson News 5, live from the Mid-South's leading news station.
Good afternoon. I'm Peggy Rolfe.
Hi, Peggy.
I'm Lee Edwards, sitting in for Dick Williams, and this is the news at noon.
Stunned fans mill around the gates of Elvis Presley's Whitehaven mansion this afternoon while scores of fans, friends, and show business celebrities pour into Memphis for funeral services tomorrow for the King of Rock and Roll. Mason Granger is standing outside the gates at Graceland right now and has this live-action cam report.
Hi, darling. Elvis Presley's body just arrived here at Graceland.
It's gigantic.
A hearse carrying the singer's body left the Memphis funeral home, winding its way down Elvis Presley Boulevard to Graceland.
Oh, my.
The hearse quickly turned down a side street and pulled into Graceland by the back entrance. Elvis's coffin was taken from the hearse and placed in the mansion's music room.
It's gigantic.
At 3 o'clock, the fans started filing in for their last view of Elvis.
Look at him.
The coffin was open.
Look at him.
Elvis was dressed in a white suit, blue shirt, and blue tie.
purple.
An autopsy shows Presley died of an extremely irregular heartbeat. The exact cause of that fatal flaw may never be known.
No.
But the medical examiner says drugs were not the cause.
That's right.
Well, thank you.
Hypertension and a disease of the arteries may have been contributing factors.
Thank you.
As Mason indicated earlier, the body will be on public view at Graceland this afternoon from 3 to 5 o'clock.
Good call, Action News.
Yeah, it gives you a little perspective on local news. You know, drugs were not involved.
Right.
Right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Elvis.
Okay.
Help out.
Elvis.
Thank you, Elvis.
Elvis Aaron Presley.
Give me a second to load some different music in.
And if you just tune in, this is the Elvis Show. I'm the Mike Show.
Let me see. Groaners. You know what? These groaners will wait for another day.
Yes.
They
do not destroy. Elvis appropriate.
The groaners are a million to one. Uh-huh. And it's a million to one. It's a million to one shot. They'd be funny anyway.
Don't destroy the sanctity of the Elvis Show.
That's right. So let me say.
Swelling the airwave with those groaners.
Would you just please say what Hank Kingsley says and what you say because you have a restaurant just like Hank Kingsley?
I will say hey now.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
That's right. And then here we go. Hi there, hi, Julia. And here's a picture of
that. True story. He was a young Nazi with one true enemy. Himself.
Right.
A man of faith. A man of hate. And a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
Must be whack.
You know what my boys told me?
What did they say?
Drugs were not a factor. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Harum Scarum and all the ships at sea. But look at all the babies they killed. Dr. Geronimo. Mike O'Mara.
Yeah.
Thank you, Robbie. And hello, everybody.
Hello. Don and Mike Show, new episode on this Monday. And it's 8:16:04.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Hi there, Buzz. It's a little different without the the music we normally play. Here's the phone number from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. From Mexico North. 800-636-1067 from Canada. And Washington, D.C. on WJFK-FM. 202-432-1067. So welcome to the annual Elvis is Still Dead show.
Yes.
Had a very interesting conversation with Beth Ann McBride today.
Great.
Great producer. She's learning about the show as we go.
Yes.
She was asking me today, because normally we keep in close contact about what's happening on the show.
Right.
I said, honey, you don't have to do anything today. Today, it's a show that's already produced.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, well, now, you like Elvis, right? And I said, I love Elvis. She said, everybody loves Elvis. Everybody loves Elvis. She said, is it a tribute show? And I told her very brief condensed versions of the Scatter the Monkey story and how
right.
Scatters suffered his untimely demise.
Yeah.
Frozen to a pole.
I mentioned, look at the babies we've killed.
Yes.
Eating the ice cream and the cookies and the energy surging through his body. And I kept telling her this, and her reaction was, a great tune. Her reaction was, that's sad. I said, no, darling, honey, listen, God damn it, honey.
Uh-huh.
That's Elvis.
Yeah, Elvis died young, but the fact is, Elvis lived a very unusual and in many cases hysterical life.
A full life.
And you know what? The life really that, when you look at Elvis Aaron Presley, that maybe a lot of guys would fantasize about behaving like that if they had the fame that he
sure.
had.
Sure. Let's begin as we do every Elvis is Still Dead show. If you guys here in the studio, Beth
take
Ann,
out the narcotics, of course, that killed him.
Joe in the other room, everybody listening, what we're going to do now together is take the TCB oath.
Okay.
Now this
you
was,
can take this at home, too.
Yeah, right. Everybody listening. This was written by Elvis in 1971. He wrote this on a plane from L.A. to Memphis. TCB, of course, means taking care of business.
That's right.
And he wrote this as an oath for all of the goons in his mob.
The Memphis Mafia, though.
To take. So, having said that, it's a little too up-tempo, I think.
You want something slower?
Yeah, so something for the oath.
More solemn for the oath.
For the oath. The TCB oath.
but
more self-respect.
More self-respect. No, I think you have to start everybody, so everybody listening can get it.
Everybody here?
Like a three counter.
Here's the third. Okay. The TCBO.
Ready.
One, two, three. More respect. I screwed it up.
Here goes the TCBO.
Are you ready?
Okay, here we go.
I'm ready now.
Now you're ready?
Here we go.
Here we go. More self-respect.
More self-respect.
More respect for fellow man.
More respect for fellow man.
Respect for fellow students and instructors. Respect for all styles and techniques. Body conditioning.
Mental conditioning.
Meditation for calming. And stilling of the mind and body. Sharpen your skills. Increase mental awareness. For all those who might choose. A new outlook and personal philosophy.
and a new outlook and personal philosophy.
Freedom from constipation. TCB technique. All techniques into one.
Elvis Presley.
Eight. Applying all techniques.
Into one.
Well, there it is. Of course, we're not making up the part about freedom from constipation.
No.
And when he wrote that it's Elvis Presley 8, he's not saying he's like Henry VIII. No, he's simply an 8th degree black belt karate expert.
And I guess he threw the freedom from constipation thing in there because it just happened to be on his mind at the time.
Gosh, you know, there's so many lists that go along with any great Elvis Who's Still Dead show.
Yeah.
You know, I would say after all these years,
you got more people that listen to this show every year that know that list than anybody.
Well, rather than start with Elvis's pantry, which is a great list.
Right. That's a great one.
I thought we'd start this year with the contents of Elvis's stomach at the time of his death.
Much more obscure, much more difficult.
Good list.
Here you go. Let's bring him out now and give him a big Don and Mike warm welcome.
Ladies and gentlemen, the contents of Elvis Presley's stomach.
Here we go. Now in very high concentration, Cody.
There it is.
Thank you. If you could hold your applause.
Please.
I know there's a lot of Cody lovers out there. Okay, we can hold it till the end now. I'm going to try to get the next couple contents in very quickly together. That would be, and hold your applause, please.
Yes, please.
Morphine, Quaaludes, Valium.
They can't hold it down. They're too excited.
Valium. Please, pipe down.
Valmid.
Wow. Amitol.
Amitol.
Demerol.
Always popular. Making a comeback. Very good. A few senators applauding that right now.
And then we hit all the... Oh, yeah. And then Sinutab
right over the counter.
Yeah. Perfectly legal.
Hi, Robbie. At this point, I need to mention that when they were emptying Elvis's stomach in the hospital, Joe Esposito was standing just outside the operating room, and he knew when they emptied his stomach because it sounded like gravel.
Gravel.
Yeah.
There you go.
Thank you. Yeah.
Gravel.
So that's the opening this year, is the...
Wow.
The contents of Elvis's stomach.
But there were no drugs involved in his death.
No drugs.
Oh, they're still clapping. Thank you.
You got a bigger one with the Sinutab. Wrapping it up with the Sinutab.
Like I say, you're a great audience. Thank you. And good night, everybody.
Wonderful. Thanks a lot. Thank you for applauding the contents of the summit.
Let's start. I'll just tell you some of the topics we have going here. Oh, and we'll have at least... Okay, stop that. At least one guest today. There's the chance that we'll have Elvis karaoke today.
Oh, good.
We will definitely bring back a bit that has been hated by our listeners, I believe, for the entire 20 years we've been doing this show together.
It would be one of the few that we've done over the years that was pretty much universally hated by the listening audience, but okay. We hung on to it because we love doing it.
And we're bringing it back in yet another incarnation today. It's, of course, E to E.
Yes, Elvis to Elvis. Right.
And today, we'll be doing the E to E phone scan.
Yes, as the two Elvises fly in by helicopter to take your phone calls. Should be very, very special.
A lot of people, I mean, man, it was like Jack. Man. I'm telling you something, Jack, is like 1985.
Man, we started that bit, man.
We started doing E to E.
Uh-huh.
People called us up. We're doing a morning zoo. People called us up.
Said, what are you guys doing? That's not funny.
That's not funny.
We said, we were having such a great time.
Hold on. You are not enjoying it. We said to one of the millions of people that have called us over the year. Yet, Mike and I enjoy E to E more than any part of any Elvis show.
Then we explained to our listening audience that sometimes the hosts must do something they enjoy to hopefully bring you along for the ride, and maybe you can find some entertainment in our delight in doing that bit. That was not the case. People hated it more than anything, more than life itself.
But much like Elvis Presley, we give in to our demons.
Yes, we do.
And we say, hello, demons. We are ready to do E to E.
And I would ask everybody to keep an open mind when we do the E to E phone scan, and imagine as the helicopter lands, two overweight rock stars getting out of the helicopter in their jumpsuits.
take your live telephone calls.
Wow, and how exciting that may be.
That is exciting.
If you have the right mindset.
Uh-huh.
If only you could see how exciting it will be when we come down that fabulous walkway to take your phone calls today.
Absolutely. The drummer plays, the chopper sounds. And there we are, talking to you, the listening audience.
You might have done something about it.
If only we would have known. If only we would have known.
Oh, man. Pilots, Jack.
Okay, here you go. On today's show, sexually retarded, not to mention, this is the stuff besides the tapes that we've got and the CDs.
Right.
And we could do, if we want, an entire break today of Elvis impressionists. Mm-hmm. We have a whole new batch of bad Elvises for you.
Right.
We've also got, the tapes of Elvis speaking.
Right, great.
Like this.
And I was on the Ed Sullivan Show, and I did this song here.
All right, hold on. We'll play that one in a second.
Good.
Besides all of that, and there's Hamburger James, which we may or may not get to this year.
Mm-hmm.
There's the sexually retarded Elvis. Even with the new show, we can still discuss that.
Yes.
Elvis loves football. Elvis tries hallucinogenic drugs. Wow. Elvis and Jerry Reed. Elvis loves guns.
Elvis and Jerry Reed.
We've never had it before.
Oh, okay.
Elvis loves guns and General Bradley. Let me see. Elvis's early Coleman troubles.
Hmm. Wow.
Ellen DeGeneres. Elvis's colon book. Constipation. Pills. Elvis and pills.
Mm-hmm.
Elvis's great monologue. We've got a tape of that. Oh, Mike, you know I love this one. The Elvis hot dog roll story.
Oh, yes, towards the end. He liked to just eat hot dog rolls right out of the bag.
Elvis at the morgue. Flash bulbs in the pool.
Yay.
Elvis and baby talk. Elvis meets Danny Thomas. Elvis loves peaches and popsicles. Mm-hmm. That pleases me greatly. Let's go snake hunting. Elvis's Graceland bedroom. Elvis and Robert Goulet.
Oh, yeah.
Elvis is a clumsy dancer. Elvis has a mental disorder. Elvis has plastic surgery. Elvis's foot odor. Let me continue. Regal Elvis. Elvis lawsuits. Elvis buys love. Scatter the monkey. Scatter the monkey again.
Oh.
The death of Scatter the monkey.
Yeah.
Elvis and Richard Simmons. Elvis shoots the television. Hold on. Let me continue. Then you have Elvis's bizarre eating habits sent him to his death. He was hooked on ice cream, cheeseburgers, and Pepsi.
Mm. That's what he liked, man.
His favorite snack was 8 scoops of ice cream and a few dozen cookies.
Wow. These are delicious, man.
We are all over all of this. Elvis's faggy bedroom.
Right.
Elvis loves donkeys and ducks and turkeys. Elvis's early drug use. Elvis's early eating habits. Let me see. Elvis's flashlight. Oh, the cough syrup story and the champagne flute.
Love
yes. Baby talk. Sweet and low incident that pleases me greatly. His Nullo deodorant tablets. Elvis shoots his toilet. There is so much.
So much. Elvis shot a lot of things, didn't he? He shot televisions, toilets.
He did, Jack.
And I believe refrigerators, too.
He did. But let's start. You know what? Mike, we've done enough talking and joshing.
Yes.
Let's give some people out there a taste of what this Elvis tribute show is all about.
With a wonderful story about the King of Rock and Roll?
I'm going to go right to the man himself. I'm going to go right to a tape.
Very good.
Don't listen to me or Mike or Buzz or Rob. Listen to this man.
Excellent.
A great man. He's still dead. Elvis Presley.
Then I was on the Ed Sullivan Show and I did this song here. This is my message song for the night. You don't know what I'm going to do yet. Just wait a minute. You ain't never been...
Uh-oh.
You ain't nothing but a... But a...
I'd
like to tell you that it's really fantastic being back in New York. A really good audience. Thank you.
It's really...
And now that you've had a look at us, I'd like to turn the house lights up and take a look at you. We hope you enjoy the show, the rest of the show this afternoon. The first part was adequate. But, you know, we're going to do a lot of songs, old ones, new ones. And let me see. Over in Hawaii, if you wear a flower in your left ear, it means you're available.
What do you?
It means you're ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
There you go.
What you got, man? A little bitty bouquet?
A little bitty bouquet.
Okay, give me a little bitty scarf for the little bitty girl.
Yeah.
I get this show started in a minute, folks. I got to get everything else out of the way first.
He's so effed up.
Now, this next song is a song by Olivia Newton-John called If You Love Me, Let Me Go.
Hey! This is a song, If You Love Me, Let Me Go. And it's really not the name of the song.
Oh, wait a minute, hold it.
What?
This is the wrong song to do this one.
Idiot fans.
I can tell by the look on this woman's face that I'll never make it to this song, see? You know, she put the hoomie on me. I couldn't even sing, Jack.
He put the hoomie on him.
Right now, I'd like to do a medley of some of my records. You know,
okay.
All right. To the years.
Let's do some stuff you know.
All right, Elvis.
Oh, well. I started 1,400 songs. Starting, oh, well, oh, well. Oh, well, the wind of my blue moon.
What, Elvis?
Yeah, we did a couple of years ago song.
Like a boy, these are not like studio tapes we're playing.
No, I used it from a concert.
The man's doing a concert.
In front of thousands of people.
She put the hoomie on me.
I saw a couple of years ago.
How many years ago?
Paul, help me. I'd like to sing that for you. You're a good audience, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much. Watch it, Bruce.
Watch it, Bruce.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Last for a while? God. And let me introduce the members of my group to you before we go any further. First of all, the young ladies that you met earlier in the show tonight, we've been together. I don't mean all young ladies. He's not a young lady.
Listen how out of breath he is.
Yeah, very well, man, they put the hoomie on me. What are you putting a hoomie on me, man?
Trying to remember the names. The band's already going to the band.
Well, I saw 1,400 songs like that, Jack.
They put the hoomie on me. We got some girls in the audience,
yes, sir. We've been together for about 6 years. I think they're fantastic. The Sweet Inspirations.
Sweet Inspirations, yeah.
The gentleman in the back. They're one of the finest gospel quartets in Tupelo, Mississippi. J.D. Summer and the Sam's Quartet.
What, Elvis?
J.D. Summer, right?
You sound drunk, Elvis. Or high.
Hi. I'd like to introduce the Stamps to you individually. They have a new bass singer with them. His name is Larry Strickland.
Larry Strickland.
The baritone singer is a guy that comes in here before I do and does all the announcements. And if he said, we're going to second half the show, if you get back in your seats.
Wait,
there's one that's illegible. We found one.
We've got tapes that we have never heard before.
I haven't heard that. Calibre, I'll get back in your seats.
What?
The baritone singer is a guy that comes in here before I do and does all the announcements.
Okay.
And if he said, we're going to second half the show, if you get back in your seats.
What?
Well, second half of the show, we get back to your seat. You sound like a broken record. He said it 20 times at least. I know. 23. He's from Nashville. His name is Ed Hill.
Ed Hill. I still don't know what he was saying about get back in your seat.
No. Welcome back to the second half of the show. Get back to your seats.
And the lead singer and the blonde kid, he's sitting here with his leg going like this. You know.
He's got a what?
His name is Ed Enoch.
Hairy leg?
Can you back that up? He has a hairy...
I don't know. I don't know what he's saying.
I don't know.
His name is Ed Enoch.
Singer and the blonde kid, he's sitting here with his leg going like this. You know.
I think you had it, Buzz. He's got a hairy leg like this. Yeah, give him a round of applause, ladies and gentlemen.
Listen to that.
Ed Enoch.
And their tenor singer, the guy that did You'll Never Walk Alone, which is the story of his life, is Bill Bays.
Can't you just imagine the people applauding but not understanding?
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I guess.
Right.
That's it. Little girl with a beautiful high voice. She's from Los Angeles. Her name is Kathy Westmoreland.
Kathy Westmoreland. I've tapped that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so you've been
this
saving your money.
He's saying, help me, and he does a lot of harmony with me on records and in my personal appearances. His name is Cheryl Nielsen.
Cheryl Nielsen. So you pay all your hard-earned money to go see this schmuck.
Yeah.
And this is what you get.
What's the matter, Jack?
You've been waiting all your life to see this guy.
Yeah, what are you trying to do? Put the hooey on me?
This is the polished performance.
Did I cover it all?
I think you did.
We have a new record out, ladies and gentlemen. That
oh,
came
great.
Out.
Great, great.
What are you saying? For the good times? Let me see. For the good times.
You have a new record? You've got a new record, Elvis.
You asked for a song earlier that just came out of a new album that I did. But, The Last Farewell. Boy, I wish I knew it.
Knew it.
Thanks.
Oh, Danny Boy. Is Danny Boy in that album?
Yeah,
let me,
sure.
Now that you've had a chance to see us, let me turn the house lights up so I can see you.
Again.
Ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to tell you really that you're a fantastic audience in Tucson, really.
Tucson. You're down in Tucson.
Thank you.
You're a great bunch of people, and you've reacted very well to us tonight, and we really appreciate it. And we love you for it, believe me. Whenever you want us to come back, just let us know. We'll come back here. You know, this place looks familiar to me. I don't know what it is. We've been here before.
I'm only kidding.
We're
2,000 flash bulbs.
Good
evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Johnny Cash tonight.
He's so Elvis.
Hope you have a good time. We're going to do a lot of songs and try to entertain you. So just, honey, I'll be over there in a minute.
Honey, I'll do it in a minute.
You want the scarf? You want a kiss?
You want the scarf? I got the creepy.
Anything else you want? We have a new record out. It came out this past week, and it's—I don't know all the words to it yet. I still don't know it. You know.
I don't know the words.
We got a new song.
Too busy shooting flashbulbs.
We got a new song that came out this week. I don't know all the words.
If I goof it up.
Anything else you want? We have a new record out that came out this past week, and it's, I don't know all the words to it yet. I still don't know it, you know. It's called T-R-O-U-B-L-E. And it's one of those real fast songs, you know, the words go, you know, like that. If you get behind, that's where they go. Aspirations, you don't know that. And that's the first verse. If you get behind, you might as well just forget it because you can't catch up.
Well, that's Elvis.
T-R-O-U-B-L-E.
We have to have way more effed up. That's,
oh,
like,
good, yeah.
That's like Elvis on a good day.
Yes, oh, it is, but it's great to listen to.
Yeah.
But the Elvis is Still Dead show is nothing without the stories.
Right.
Elvis was sexually retarded, Mike.
Yes, he was.
Elvis was curiously inept in basic certain social skills. He was so retarded, remarked one of his girlfriends, who came up to the house regularly back when he lived at Graceland, dressed in her nice little tweed skirt with her white blouse, her black jacket, stockings, and heels. You didn't go in your blue jeans and t-shirt to see Elvis. All the girls dressed the same. Guys were more aggressive. They scored because a girl always had the idea that eventually she'd get to Elvis through one of them. Elvis himself had nothing to say. If Scatter the Monkey hadn't been there, we probably would have sat there all night looking at each other. Elvis's monkey became the focus of attention. All the conversation was centered on the adventures of the monkey. It was like the monkey was Elvis's buffer. One time, Elvis took a friend of mine out of the room and made out on a couch upstairs. It was like heavy teen petting, and he got totally aroused. I have to do some editing.
The monkey did?
No, Elvis did.
Oh, okay. And the monkey was actually a chimpanzee, right?
Yes.
They call it a monkey. They are in error.
Anyway, it was heavy petting. Elvis got embarrassed and said, "Oh, look at all the babies we killed."
Oh, dear.
I'll never forget that statement. If he got involved with some girl casually and she put out quick and went to bed with him, he'd never see her again.
Wow.
Because that meant she was a bad girl. I don't know any of my friends who had sex with Elvis. A lot of them made out with him, but they didn't go to bed with him. And one of them, the ultimate good girl, she came from a Catholic family on the East Coast, one of the few virgins in Memphis, spent the night with him all the time, but remained totally unsullied because he just really respected her. Few of the girls knew about the two-way mirror that Elvis had installed in the swimming pool cabana that served as the ladies' dressing room.
Oh, man, perfect.
Sonny had originally got a smaller version for another house where they used it in the den for shows put on by guys and their unsuspecting dates. One Sunday afternoon, all the girls came over to watch them play football at the little park on Beverly Glen off Sunset. They'd play several games in a row, two or three touchdowns to clear the winner, and Elvis's team always won. They played against teams of other actors and singers like Pat Boone, Ricky Nelson. Elvis's team had Red and Sonny, plus ringers like Max Baer Jr., the giant star of the Beverly Hillbillies. Elvis always played quarterback, throwing himself into the fray with genuine abandon, but taking the game utterly seriously, too. Diagramming plays for his team, following developments of the NFL religiously, and calling the NFL a gift from the gods.
There you go. You agree with Elvis on that?
I do. Let me see. Hold on a second.
He loved the Cleveland Browns, I think, were his team.
And that was his favorite team, the Cleveland Browns. Let me find one.
Nice tip in there, Buzz.
Thank you. Okay. Here you go. We'll end with this as we go to the first break.
All that happened out when they were out in Hollywood, too, all that stuff with the two-way mirrors and all that.
That's right, Jack. Although they later had those at Graceland as
I think
well.
They had them at Graceland. Yeah. Actually, I think before they had gone out to... I think he had two-way mirrors for a long time. Or I should say one-way mirror, right?
Yeah.
Two-way?
Elvis's autopsy proper went on for a couple of hours. Specimens were collected and carefully preserved. The internal organs were examined, and the heart was found to be enlarged. A significant amount of coronary
sclerosis
was observed. The liver showed considerable damage, and the large intestine was clogged with fecal matter, including a painful and long-standing bowel condition.
Side effect of the speed.
It will fascinate you.
You know what I read today is that the bowel obstruction was actually white when they got to it.
Chalky and impacted.
Really? Chalky and impacted.
White in color.
The bowel condition alone would have strongly suggested to the doctors by what now they had every reason to suspect from Elvis's hospital history. The liver damage, the drug use that was heavily implicated in this unanticipated death of a middle-aged man with no history of heart disease. It was certainly possible that he had been taken while straining at stool.
Oh, dear.
And no one ruled out the possibility of shock brought on by the codeine pills he had gotten from his dentist. He had had approximately 17 pills.
17 codeine pills?
In the last 2 hours.
Oh, my
God. Before, as they write here, he was straining at stool.
Man, man, straining at stool.
There's 17 codeines, and I think it'd be hard to strain at anything. That's for sure.
Well, it's Elvis.
Hey, I love this song.
And he's dead.
And for all you farm animal fans out there.
Old MacDonald had a farm.
Here we go.
E-I-E-I-O. And on that farm he has some chicks. E-I-E-I-O.
Look at all the babies we killed.
Cluck, cluck here, cluck, cluck there.
Yep.
Loud as they could be. And when those chicks got out of line, chicken fricassee.
Can we do a fairy tale? Yeah!
Yeah! I'm never going to forget the words for this.
There's a lead into it. I'm almost too hot.
Too hot.
Fairy tale. Fairy tale.
See, I kissed somebody about a week ago, and they gave me the creeping crud.
And honey.
And whatever it is I've got, honey, you've got it. Yeah. Is that all right? You don't mind? Okay. Thank you, sir. But I'll tell you. I'd like to tell you, if I could, I'd like to tell you really how nice you people are here in Murfreesboro to come out for three different shows up here. We really appreciate it, really. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
It's my man. Big E.
With an oink-oink here and a oink-oink there. Pigs everywhere in sight.
Still dead.
And when those pigs got out of line, sold some beans at night. With an oink-oink here and a oink-oink there. Pigs everywhere in sight. And when those pigs got out of line, pork and beans at night.
Get back there. Just hang loose. I told you. This being the last night of our tour, I'd like to thank everybody on stage, because I won't see you. We haven't even said, I got to tell you something, really.
What's that
we
mean?
Haven't even seen each other to say hello. We've only seen each other on stage. We didn't rehearse. We met in Macon, Georgia, walked on stage, you know, and came.
There's more of that.
And we haven't had a chance to say hello to each other on stage, I mean, except on the stage.
Uh-huh.
I'd like to tell you, now that you've had a chance to see us, I'd like to turn the house lights up so we can take a look at you.
Take a look at you.
Because we can't see out there. I can't see out there.
Like hello, E.
Can you turn the house lights up, please? Now, wait a minute. Now, they told me backstage they could turn the house lights up. They lie like a rug, but you can't turn them up. I'd like to sing a little bit of my first movie song, which was Love Me Tender.
I'll do things McDonald's way.
You know, that's why we vacillate on this show. Which is the Elvis that we like best?
Right.
The Army Elvis?
Sure.
The Comeback Elvis?
Or
the purple bloated...
At the End of the Line Elvis.
That's mine.
I vote for the End of the Line Elvis every time.
I like the... I like the mid-level Elvis, you know, when he was, like, shooting television set.
By 1977, the sex symbol was overweight, his body failing him. Increasingly isolated and paranoid, Elvis
deodorant pills.
Behind the walls of Graceland. He began pushing away even those who were closest to him. Hmm. And the few who remained in his inner circle say they were powerless to help him.
We even got down one night and filled his pills with sugar to make sure that we got that he wouldn't get them.
His body was just no longer going with him. I mean, he had problems. He had a twisted colon. He had a liver disease.
And according to his former pals, Elvis wasn't even bathing regularly, relying on pills that people often take for medical reasons to reduce body odor.
And he would take those. He thought those were perfect, you know. Well, to take a bath, he could take two of those, you know, and sponge off real quick.
That worked perfect.
There you go.
He wasn't surrounded by too many hillbillies. He was fast.
So, hey, hold on. How you doing, Eddie? We hope you have a lot of fun.
He's still good.
Ask me, you know, they say, what about the spotlights? What about the flash bulbs?
Yeah.
They don't bother me. I can't see a damn thing, I'll tell you for sure. Blind as a bat.
Blind as a bat.
Where are they at? Oh, there they are. Can you hear me?
Where they at?
You know, really, we were that's the way it is, or the way it was, or whatever, on TV tonight.
What?
And I got the same people with me almost, except the Stamps back here. And J.D. Sumner. And Stamps, and see who else? Kathy, you
isn't it J.D. Stauber?
Weren't you? Charlie lost his mind. You remember that?
You.
Now wait a minute, fellas. And these guys here, they weren't with us. You know, they're some hangers all, and I'm somewhere. I don't know. I'd like to get serious for just a moment, but I don't feel like it. So what? I'm not.
Wow. Elvis was
those are the tapes where he's kind of got it together.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to get further into Elvis doing his monologues on stage, where you're going to hear that, and you're going to think
towards the end you'll hear him really in a controlled state of sleep. Yeah.
He's the great communicator. You're going to hear it.
He's moving as well as it, plus tax.
Flavor tapes.
Yeah.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Oh, man.
I forgot we've also got to talk about his dirty home movies. Skating rink. He loves skating rinks and his bathroom habits.
his first drug use.
I'd like to try to do my latest record. I tried it last night.
That's late in the game right there.
Yeah.
I don't know the words to it, so I had to read it. If we goof it up, just, you know, please forgive us.
Okay.
If we goof it up.
When we come back on this Elvis is Still Dead show, 2004, I think we're going to go with Elvis's bizarre eating habits sent him to his death.
Yay.
Yay! That's a real popular one. Mm-hmm. And also, Elvis was hooked on ice cream, cheeseburgers, and Pepsi. Then we'll throw it out to Mike and Buzz for a wild card selection here.
Very good.
Mike, I know you like the Scatter the Monkey stuff. And
I like Scatter the Monkey. There are a bunch of them I like.
You like the shooting the flash bulbs and the...
That'd be my number one, yes. That's it, because that's the Elvis that... Would that be the mid-stage Elvis? Because that's when he was the king of rock and roll, surrounded himself with all of these guys, and they did whatever they wanted to do.
That's right, Jack. Oh, and Rob, do we have the story about... What was the medical procedure that Elvis was thinking about getting? And he forced one of his guys to have it done. The guy didn't need the medical procedure done.
It was a gastric bypass.
Like back in the days when they were much more dangerous.
And he wasn't sure whether or not he wanted it, so he told Lamar Fike, he said, you get it, and let's see how you do with it.
See how you do, Lamar. You try, and if it kills you, I won't do it.
Lamar lived, but Elvis didn't.
Funny.
Go figure. Elvis is still dead.
Yes, he is.
That is our bulletin. He is still dead.
Yeah, man.
And it's only once a year that we do this. He continues to give now. 27 years later. And do we have the tapes of the melee in Memphis? Do you have those? I know we hardly ever play like...
I was going to save those for best of at Christmas.
You are such a pack rat. You don't have them today?
You don't have them today?
Oh, listen, no problem.
We
got more than enough. Hey, listen, darling.
Yeah, Jack?
God damn it, honey.
All right, man.
We'll be right back.
Hey.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I hope Lisa Marie heard that. What microphone are you on? Oh, there you go.
Hello.
We're all guilty of scrolling through our cell phones. May I ask you a question?
Yes.
What is a cell phone? When I died 27 years ago, there was no such animal.
It is a phone you use without wires, Jack.
Elvis, it's like that big suitcase phone you carry around.
And if you have an OnStar equipped vehicle, you get a cell phone with it, sort of.
What is OnStar?
OnStar has personal calling, and you can actually just say the number or the name, and OnStar will call that person for you.
Lamar!
And bingo, it will dial, and Lamar will pick up.
Where's Lamar? Hello, this is Elvis.
OnStar is available on more than 50 GM models, from Saturns to your favorite E.
Cadillacs.
Right on, Jack.
Get a 100-minute package, good for 12 months for just $39.99.
The Safe and Sound plan costs only $69.95 a month, Jack, after the first year.
More information on OnStar. Check out their website. I'm not familiar with this website.
It's the World Wide Web. We will talk about that when your condition worsens.
Go to OnStar.com.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hi, you're welcome.
WKFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I'd like to say something right here. Those of you who saw the morning paper, or the evening paper, whatever it was, they gave us a fantastic write-up. Well, they did. Except they said I had a paunch here, and I want to tell you something. I got that damn paunch. I wore a bulletproof vest on stage. True. You know, in case some fool decides to take a 22 and blow my belly button off. That's the truth. I got his paunch. Son of a bitch. I tell you what, the guy who wrote the article gave me this. He thinks it's me. See? That son is a paunch, any way you look at it. This way, that way, up here, it don't matter. You know, silly looking fool.
Yeah.
The Don and Mike Show.
My boy.
The Garbage Can, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
My boy.
Yeah.
when no one else can understand me.
We do karaoke. I got dibs on this
when
one.
When everything I
do. Like it matters. Like it matters with me.
We gonna do karaoke today?
Well, we're gonna see. We got a lot of stuff to get to. Oh, and also new this year for the Elvis Is Still Dead show. Tribute songs to Elvis never heard before on the Don and Mike show.
Very exciting. Wow.
So let's listen to one of them now.
I was about 11 years old when I first heard him sing. And somehow, I knew from that moment on that...
Well, now, hold on.
Who would that be?
I don't know. But whoever it was, that sucked. I bet the next one is better.
Oh,
oh, yeah, this one's better.
Are we lonesome tonight?
Gosh.
Yes, we miss you tonight.
Who's that?
These are all Elvis.
Are these Elvis impersonators?
And Elvis fans.
This is from an album that came out with no heraldry in 1977 after he passed. We've not played these before.
Hi, everybody. Elvis still dead. Bowel problems. Jack.
Drugs were not a factor.
This is quite an intro. Hello, girls. May I look at you? May I look at you through my two-way mirror?
This is Elvis.
Oh, hi, Elvis. From heaven.
I'm sorry it had to be this way. But it's the most wonderful thing that could have ever happened to me. One by one, each of you will be here in this wonderful place with me. I tried very hard in the years I was with you.
Okay. Some of these...
This is somebody singing from heaven.
Wow.
Yeah, yep. That was Elvis.
When the canvas was erected and the picture first begun, a dream come true was painted for a sharecropper's son. From a two-room house in Tupelo.
Well, that guy's doing like a Shatner thing. It's just a talkie, right?
Yeah.
Okay. God, there's only like 30 of them on this disc.
Oh, my God.
Calling from heaven.
And really good production values.
Real quality.
Sure. Come on, Jack. Where's the vocal, for goodness sakes? Dr. Nick?
I'm a soul as of love singing.
God. God.
So everybody pretending to be Elvis.
His friends say Elvis did anything to get more drugs, resorting even to self-mutilation.
He's got his foot on the examining stool, and there's a hole as big as a quarter. He was digging in his foot, and he looked at me and he says, I ought to get some good stuff with this.
Yeah.
My boy.
I bet you do,
he was digging in his foot.
He named the night.
Elvis's bizarre eating habits sent him to his death.
Are you going to tell the hot dog roll story?
Oh, that's coming, Mike.
Good.
Let's set the table
first. That was bizarre, too.
Elvis Presley was a food addict. In high school, in Hollywood, in Vegas, and in Graceland, the king lived for food. And in the end, his obsession with food helped send him to an early grave.
Oh, much too sad. Yes, it is. I'm going to start crying here.
Give me some up-tempo, Elvis.
You'll like this one. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Elvis spent the last days of his life on a fast. He was desperate to lose weight for a tour set to begin August 17th, 1977. Between 12:30 and 1 o'clock in the morning of August 16th, cook Pauline Nicholson reported to Graceland for work. She revealed that Elvis, revealed Elvis had refused food all day. Pauline was concerned. Elvis had hardly eaten anything for a week. She made a salad and started peeling potatoes. Though she felt that Elvis wouldn't eat, she was worried and didn't know what to do. Several minutes later, the phone rang in the Graceland kitchen. It was Mr. E. Pauline, would you fix me some water, please? My bottles are empty. Sure, said Pauline. Elvis always liked to have two huge bottles of ice water in the refrigerator next to his bed. Pauline went up to Elvis's room to refill his bottles. She found Elvis lying in bed. She tiptoed around to pick up one booty next to his bed, and then a bottle.
another booty, and another bottle.
A booty?
He had little booties on his feet. He had his sleepies.
He had booties.
And he, what did he call his feet? He called sooty.
Sooty.
So they were sooty booties.
Booties. Sooty booties.
They were sooty booties. She found Elvis lying in bed. She tiptoed around him, picked up the booties, picked up the bottles. As Elvis looked on from his bed, she carried the empty bottles to the ice maker in Lisa Marie's room. Keep in mind, at the time, Lisa Marie was, what, a year, 2 years old?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I guess, I mean, I'm not reading from the story here.
I was thinking
here.
Of the ice maker when you mentioned that. That was later shot, by or earlier shot, who knows.
Pauline refilled Elvis's bottles, headed back down to the kitchen. His thirst quenched. Elvis thought about his next move.
I love sentences like that, too.
Yeah.
His thirst quenched. Elvis thought about his next move.
That's great.
I'm not thirsty anymore. What can I put in my body now?
He was discouraged. After a few days of dieting, he still weighed 285 pounds. But he called the kitchen again between 2 and 4 a.m. to break his fast. He requested his favorite snack. Ice cream and cookies. This snack typically consisted of at least 8 scoops of ice cream and 24 cookies. On this night, however, he told Pauline, "Don't serve me as much as usual. Just a small amount. Don't give me as many cookies." She dished up 4 scoops of ice cream and 8 cookies. She served the ice cream in a cereal bowl, accompanied by cookies, extra cookies, on a bread plate. After eating, energy surged through Elvis's body. Revitalized.
Hey.
He discussed the idea of marriage with his girlfriend, Ginger. Here's another normal part of the story. At 5 a.m., Elvis and Ginger went to play racquetball at the court behind the mansion. When Elvis returned to the mansion at 7 a.m., he was much more subdued. Pauline said he looked hungry. He said, "Pauline, I'm not hungry. I feel tired. I want to get rest." Later in the morning, Elvis called the kitchen and asked for his medication. He referred to that as his attack.
I need my attack, Jack.
He typically took 3 such attacks every night, spaced several hours apart. But during this last night, he had saved up all the contents of all 3 packets. And now he swallowed all the pills at once. He was found dead several hours later on the floor of his bathroom.
Huh. Wow. What was that sound?
That was a little...
I didn't mean to laugh at Elvis being found dead. It was just that sound.
No, we put some production values in it.
And, you know, Don, after all these years, you develop a little, you know, sensitivity issue with the Elvis death stuff. You know, it just seems like he's not even gone.
Yep.
He was hooked on ice cream, Mike. Cheeseburgers and Pepsi. Even as a teenager, Elvis loved food. He relished the lunch at his Memphis high school. Elvis couldn't afford lunch. The shop teacher noticed Elvis lingered after class, last period before lunch. Teacher asked young Elvis what was wrong. "I don't have money for lunch." Shop teacher gave him lunch money for many days afterwards. Years later, Elvis prowled around looking for a down-home diner like his favorite one back in Memphis. A few times, he brought in Natalie Wood. She once remarked about her dates with Elvis. "We'd go to his favorite restaurant, and Elvis would have hot fudge sundaes. Then we'd go to Hamburger Hamlet, and Elvis would have burgers and Cokes. He didn't drink, he didn't swear, he didn't even smoke. It was like having the date that I never had in high school. Whenever Elvis performed in Vegas, he was fueled by a massive intake of food. After the show, Elvis might have a small backstage party, but more typically, he'd rush to the service elevator to be whisked to his penthouse suite, where he would eat cheeseburgers piled high, laid across his head."
Elvis Presley, "Pile those cheeseburgers on my bed."
The cheeseburgers were served with ketchup, but no mayo, because Elvis believed mayo was bad for your stomach and throat. Fries with the occasional pickle were the only accompaniment.
Keep that mayonnaise off there, Jack.
At Graceland, Elvis had cooks on duty 24/7. Graceland's pantry was always fully stocked with Elvis's favorite food. We'll get to that list momentarily. But the cooks who went grocery shopping never bought Elvis's favorite beverage, Pepsi. He drank too much of it to buy it at the supermarket. Instead, he had it delivered directly from the Pepsi distributor. One night in 1976, Elvis and several pals jetted from Memphis to Denver to feast on the best sandwich Elvis had ever eaten. The Fool's Gold Loaf. A peanut butter and jelly sandwich of Olympic proportions. The sandwich is an entire loaf of bread that's warmed, hollowed out, and generously spread with peanut butter and jelly. Inside is filled with a pound of crispy fried bacon. Once when he was about to enter the hospital, he left instructions that he be awakened and a cherry pie prior to his departure.
When I went, feed me a cherry pie.
He was so nervous that he wolfed down the entire pie in bed, unaided by utensils. Another time, while staying in Baltimore for a concert, Elvis woke up and ordered a hot fudge sundae for breakfast. He quickly ate it and ordered a second one. Then he ordered and ate a third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh. Then he passed out. At the end of his life, he increasingly dined while reclining. However, it was impossible to lie flat in bed, eat, and watch three TVs at the foot of the bed at the same time.
Yeah.
Elvis ingeniously thought of the idea of glasses with a mirror inside. The mirror, positioned at a 45-degree angle, reflected the TVs by his feet into his field of vision. A field of vision which was focused directly upward. So he would lay in bed on his back watching TV. He favored one meal towards the end, bacon, mashed potatoes, and peas. Wearing his TV glasses, Elvis would swirl the combination together on his plate and shovel it into his mouth with his hand.
Just like the cherry pie.
With his hands.
This is good, Jack.
He's at the foot of his bed.
I need a handy wipe.
Droning on. Elvis ate his way to an early death.
Yes. Wow.
And there you go. That's
wow. Man. That's just some of his eating. You've got a lot of his eating habits in there.
Mm-hmm.
You got the fool's loaf or whatever the
fool's gold.
Fool's gold. Fool's
eating
gold.
Through the years with Elvis Presley.
Oh, my gosh. Goodness. Gosh.
So that was peanut butter, jelly, and bacon.
A pound of bacon.
And a hollowed out loaf of bread.
And, and warmed.
And warmed. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay, now, we got, what is this? More of these Elvis songs.
I want to hear this one again.
You want to hear this one again?
I like
this. Come on, Jack. Is this the guy who talks like Elvis and says he's in heaven? Okay. Let's hear this heartfelt tribute. This bulletin's still in. Elvis is dead.
Hello there. This is Elvis calling from heaven. I'm sorry it had to be this way, but it's the most wonderful thing that could have ever happened to me. One by one, each of you will be here in this wonderful place with me.
Okay.
I tried very hard.
Okay, okay.
It was really bad to take a sleeping pill and then order his food. And, you know, he'd choke. You had to watch him. You had to watch him like a baby.
What do you mean? He would be so drugged that when he was trying to eat, he would choke on his food?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I know Billy's saved him.
What, like pounding him on the back or the Heimlich?
Literally pulling it out
of his throat?
Sure.
So let me get this straight. For anybody that's keeping score at home, Elvis would order a sleeping pill, take his sleeping pill, and then order his dinner.
Right.
And then choke.
Uh-huh. And then Marty would have to come up and pull the hamburger out of his throat.
Oh, God. The hamburger and the mashed potatoes and peas.
And don't forget when they finally found Elvis, that they had to knock out all of his teeth with
a hammer.
It's not good on Elvis.
It's a pass. Yeah, with a hammer, they had to knock out his teeth.
That's right.
His stomach, you can see it, been throwing up as he died, and the whole airway was blocked.
Yes.
Oh. In an effort to clear it, they had to knock out his teeth with a hammer.
Let's call Beth Ann McBride, see how she likes this show.
Absolutely.
She's never heard an Elvis show.
And when they first called in the death, they said it was not a Caucasian, but a black guy, because he was so discolored.
Right, yeah, right. I'm
choking.
Hey, B.A.
Hey.
Let me ask you something, baby. How you like the Elvis show so far? We've not even gotten into the really good stuff yet, darling.
I like it so much that I'm taking that cake that Clementine Tran makes for us.
Right.
I've been eating it.
There you go.
That's a good girl.
That's a good cake, isn't it?
Enjoy.
Need some peanut butter and some bacon.
Yeah, hollow it out, put some bacon in it.
What's your favorite Elvis memory, Beth Ann? We've never asked you that.
I think so far, because I didn't really have one until today. Is when they had to knock out his teeth with a hammer.
Yeah. Ah, well, that's coming up. Okay, good choice. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. She is... She's a nice girl. You know I like her? She wears pants.
Yeah, it's nice, Jack.
She doesn't wear dresses.
Yes.
I used to like my girls to wear dresses. I used to order them to wear dresses all the time.
Yes, and cotton panties.
Now I've opened my horizons.
Good for you, yeah.
Wear pants.
You've opened your horizons since you've been dead.
Go ahead, wear pants. It's okay with me. Do we have the tape of where he's doing the concert and he asks Lisa Marie to stand up and twirl around?
Turn around, honey.
Twirl around in her dress?
When I wake up, I order somebody to feed me a cherry pie.
Then he eats it with his hands.
Thank you, Jack.
With his hands.
Just like he, in his later days, the way he used to eat everything.
I want to make one thing clear. Let me make something clear. I've been singing that song for a long time. Just a minute here. I've been singing that song for a long time. And a lot of people kind of got it associated with me because I think it's a personal movie.
This is Elvis from the spaceship.
Just some of that MP3 stuff. We've got to have a cleaner copy, Rob, where he talks about having Priscilla stand up and Lisa Marie. And the whole thing where he talks about he bought her a Bentley or whatever.
Turn around, honey.
Yeah, turn,
love that.
Turn around. Anyway.
Everything's fine. Everything's good. Everything's fine.
This bulletin just in, Elvis still dead.
Yes, he is.
Now, when we come back, let me see. We've got tapes.
Mm-hmm.
My boy. Now, we've got the famous one. We've got the Rip Your Tongue Out by the Roots, God Damn It, Fraternity Suit.
I believe that's Las Vegas.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've got that. And we've got the whole thing. We've got the maternity suit, as he calls it, and the drugs monologue.
We got it, Jack.
Mike, when we come back, I picked one I like there.
Okay.
So I'll give you a couple of choices. When
please
we come
do.
Back. Elvis is...
You pull your dress down where you jumble like that again, young lady.
That's the one. That's
Elvis is
kid coming out.
Elvis is a foot odor.
Uh-huh.
Then
right.
You have puking Elvis.
Mm-hmm.
Scatter the monkey.
Oh boy!
Yeah. You want to go with Scatter?
Yeah, go with the monkey.
You know what we're gonna have to do, Rob? During the break, we're gonna have to go through the books and get these in a chronological order.
Okay.
For the life and times of Scatter the monkey.
Absolutely, Jack.
Because as we speak, Elvis is still dead.
Still dead, man.
We'll be right back, Jack.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Some of the Elvis stories. He bought a chimp?
Yeah, he got a chimp. Elvis, like I told you, loved animals. And there was this little baby chimp that this TV guy at the station there in Memphis had a show. And one of the guys told him, Elvis, this guy wants to sell this little chimp. So he brought it out to the house, and Elvis fell in love with it. Little chimp, his name was Scatter.
What did he do with it? He just kept it at the house?
Kept it around the house. Yeah, with a cage for it. But he'd bring him out and have little clothes on him. He'd come out and hang around with him for a while. And it was fun. He was a character.
Did he have dogs and cats?
Cats, dogs, ducks, horses. Chickens, horses, jackasses, everything. He loved it.
Call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
My boy.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the mongoose.
Let them give ye a comedy facial. Don and Mike.
Oh, I was still dead.
Yes, he is.
Now. You're still checking on that, right, Buzz?
Yes, I am.
It's mass confusion at Graceland Mansion.
Yeah,
some 5,000 to 6,000 people are moving, viewing the body of Elvis Presley. There was pushing, shoving at the main gate, making it difficult for those viewing the body to leave. This reporter was one of the first to see the body as it lay in the flower-draped casket of the music room of the mansion. Elvis is dressed in a white tuxedo with his hands crossed.
The music room of the mansion.
We have still not even mentioned the items that Elvis B. insisted be kept in his pantry.
Yes.
At all times. In his kit.
His kit, man.
In the little cigar box that he brought with him at all times.
Yeah, you had to have stuff in the mansion. You had to have stuff on the road. And the road is where they had the kit.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've still got
The E2E phone scan today. We've got the karaoke coming up today.
Man, I am looking forward to those phone calls.
But Mike, you requested Scatter the Monkey.
Right.
And now let's get into this. There are three separate pieces of documentation that I got to go through here to give you the complete story of Scatter, Elvis's monkey. Happy Elvis Death Day, everybody. In 1962, Elvis's friend, Bill Killebrew, gave him a chimpanzee named Scatter. Scatter had three vices, none of which could be controlled by Elvis. He was an alcoholic, a womanizer,
right,
and a pervert.
Well, that's Scatter the monkey.
The chimp loved Elvis's parties. He would sip from everyone's drinks and become intoxicated within a short period of time. When Scatter was drunk, he would lie on his back and look up the skirts of girls who passed by. He became excited when looking at girls' underpants and did stuff right there and there.
Yeah.
Right there and then, right?
Yeah.
He did stuff.
Bad monkey.
The girls...
And they're bad monkeys.
The girls screamed and Elvis came running. He grabbed Scatter by the scruff of his neck and tossed him into his cage. At one party, Scatter had been in his cage for about an hour and he began to scream. One of Elvis's men let the chimp out and he ran around doing somersaults. A girl soon caught him looking up her skirt and warned that if he pulled that stunt again, she would belt him. Of course, he didn't understand her words, although Scatter did seem to understand that he was being threatened. Nonetheless, he repeated the act again. Much to the amazement of both monkey and onlookers, the woman sent him flying across the room with an uppercut.
Oh, no.
Scatter never bothered that girl again. In fact, whenever she came within reach of him, he screamed and ran away.
Oh, Scatter.
Scatter. Elvis loved all types of games and jokes. And he had the money to do try and buy anything he wanted.
Yeah.
In the early 60s, he liked to dress Scatter, his pet chimpanzee, in various outfits and make him do all kinds of tricks.
Sure.
The thing else Elvis loved to do the most with Scatter was stick a huge unlit cigar in his mouth and make the chimp parade around with it. Elvis did this on movie sets in Hollywood. And while walking down the street in Memphis...
Man, look at my monkey. I got a cigar in his mouth.
Whenever Scatter walked around with a cigar, Elvis called him Colonel. After, you know, Colonel Tom Parker.
Sure.
When Scatter would mimic one of Parker's moves by pure accident, Elvis would roll with laughter, and Scatter would jump all over his head, making Elvis laugh even more.
Come on, Scatter, go for it.
Scatter would give his owner only a minute or two of the Colonel impression before he would eat the cigar.
Yeah. I'm sure that made Scatter feel very well.
Let me switch the music here.
Come on, Jack. That's going to give you a Scatter tummy ache.
You're going to find this is going to be a happy story that has a less than great ending.
Yeah, kind of sad.
Happy Elvis Death Day, everybody. In the early 60s, the entourage took on its most problematic and entertaining member, a 40-pound chimpanzee named Scatter. His trainer, who featured both Scatter and his brother Chatter on a Memphis TV show,
Scatter and Chatter,
wanted to pare down the act and approach Elvis about buying the chimp as a companion. I guess he felt that Graceland was a place where a monkey would feel at home.
Yeah, man.
Elvis, who had adored Scatter's earlier incarnation, Jehu, was an easy mark. But no one in the group foresaw the inevitable trouble that comes with mixing eight guys, 150 girls, and a chimpanzee.
I would have bought it.
Elvis was crazy, period. He'd love to get things going with people, stuff they wouldn't do. All the guys had to put up with Scatter, and I made him, this is Elvis picking up, I made them drive Scatter back and forth to California.
That's right.
Marty Lacker. Scatter with us was Scatter. Now, they got a chimpanzee in the car.
Yeah, Elvis would make his entourage. He'd fly out to California, yeah, and he'd make the guys in his Memphis Mafia drive the chimp out west.
Drive my monkey out, Marty.
Drive my chimp from Memphis to Los Angeles.
Scatter was with us on my first trip cross-country. We had him in a cage.
Oh, that's a good story about the hotel room.
Yep. We had him in the cage in the back of the Chrysler station wagon. One night we checked into a motel in Flagstaff, Arizona. Chimp stayed in Alan and Lamar's room. All night long, we heard Scatter going, ba-ba-bum, ba-ba-bum, just running back and forth in the room. The next morning, Lamar, in his real quiet voice, said, you need to come see this. Scatter had gotten up on the drapes and swinging on them, and they were partially pulled down. And he... Lamar said Scatter was just throwing everything he could find. He would even... in his hands and yeah. throw that on the wall. Well, monkeys do that.
That's what chimps do. Yeah.
Monkeys do that. I said, how do you think we're going to get out of here without paying for this? Lamar said. Don't even worry about it. We closed the door and had breakfast at the restaurant across the way. Just about the time our food came, I looked out the window and I said, oh my God. The Mexican maid was knocking on the door. We all jumped up at the same time and tried to yell at her, but it was too late. Before we could even get out of our chair, she had walked in and closed the door and started making up the room.
Look out, man.
It was early in the morning and the room was dark. Well, you can picture what it was like for a Mexican maid to open a hotel room door in Flagstaff, Arizona, and find a chimp inside. Scatter ran across the room and latched on to her, and she went bananas. She started screaming the most blood-curdling yell sure. I have ever heard. We ran over there, and God, that was the funniest sight. The maid came running out of the room with Scatter wrapped around her like a goddamn boa constrictor. He had jumped on her back and fastened his legs around her waist and put his hands over her eyes so she couldn't see. We peeled the chimpanzee off her, and then he bolted out the door and went tearing out across the street. He went right up into a drain pipe in another building and over the top. The maid was still screeching. And Scatter was now on the goddamn roof, dancing up a storm and laughing at us. Alan said, what are we going to do? I said, get in your goddamn car and I'll go get the station wagon. I'll leave the back door open and the window down and the door to the cage ajar. Just slowly drive off. Well, that car hadn't rolled 10 feet when Scatter was on that sucker. He thought we were going to leave him behind. He stuck so tight, it looked like an adhesive tape. We paid when we checked in, so we just took the keys and we threw them on the front desk and took off before anybody discovered how bad Scatter had ruined the room. As much of a terror as he was, Scatter was also capable of behaving like a gentleman. Alan used to take him on a drive at Elvis's Rolls Royce. Elvis would buy little suits for him, and sometimes he would put a chauffeur's cap on him and balance him on his lap. Whenever they'd meet a car, Elvis would duck down to make it look like Scatter was driving. We came out one night on Bellagio Road and found out that Scatter had bitten Jimmy the Butler real bad. Elvis was pissed off. Jimmy and Lillian were all upset and yelling and threatening to quit if Elvis didn't kill him. Scatter was upset too. We kept him in the basement underneath the steps. Alan tried to get him to go downstairs to his cage and he wouldn't. Elvis finally calmed down and he walked up to Scatter and he stood over him. Scatter was on top of his cabinet. He looked at Elvis with those innocent eyes and all Elvis did was stare at him. Finally, Elvis said, you coconut-headed little MF-er, you better get downstairs in your cage and don't ever bite nobody either. Scatter hopped off the cabinet, slowly walked downstairs like a man going to the electric chair with his hands folded in front of him. We all followed him. Elvis and Alan put his hands out for Scatter. He wouldn't hold hands. He had too much pride. He marched down to the basement right into his cage. We came upstairs and Elvis fell on the floor laughing. One time, Elvis hit him with a cue stick. He just hit him so goddamn hard that chimp saw stars. And he ran up the curtain. I said, God almighty. Elvis said, if you lead him about 2 yards, I'll shoot his ass. We had a huge 35-millimeter projection screen on the wall in the basement den. It was covered by drapes. Scatter would always run up the side of that damn thing or get up in the drapes and start swinging. One time he miscalculated a little and went right through Elvis's screen.
Oh, no.
Punched a hole in it with his foot. He was cute, but so destructive. He pulled out Elvis's phone lines a couple of times.
Oh, no.
Lamar Fike says another time the goddamn monkey bit me and that caused problems and tried my patience every way, which way but loose. So I just went out and got a hot shot, a cattle prod. I know that chimps hate water, so I ran a tub full of hot water and forced the chimp in. He landed in that water, and he started going, Rah! It says R-U-U-U-U-U-H. I said, okay, you little bastard, and I jammed that cattle prod into him. And I promise you, every hair on that monkey body stood straight up. Everybody came in, and Elvis said, you're trying to kill Scatter. And I said, yes, I'm going to kill that son of a bitch right here. I hated that goddamn chimp. Elvis used to wait until the den was filled with girls and everybody was real comfortable having a nice time. Then he'd whisper, okay, boys, let him out. We'd open the door from under the steps and Scatter would come out.
That is the part I like about Elvis. Let him out.
Scatter would come out. He'd be whooping like crazy and scaring people so bad they almost had heart attacks. Jack, he could make some noise. He was 3.5 or 4 feet tall, and he made an impression. He loved the ladies. Elvis taught him a lot of things, but he learned some on his own. When a woman got up to go to the bathroom, he'd run up and hide behind the bathroom door. In a minute, we'd hear this god-awful scream. And this frantic grabbing of the doorknob. It was like jerking the door off the hanger, off the hinges, I'm sorry. The girl would bolt out of there screaming her head off, and Scatter would come waddling out after her. One time, this big, tall girl named Pat Perry was over at the house. She didn't know about Scatter, and this sucker made his entrance. He came in without screeching, with his hands up. She thought he was going to attack her. He didn't. He kept trying to look up her skirt. She said, stop, monkey. And then when he wouldn't, she said, you do that one more time, and I'm going to knock the hell out of you, monkey. They were in front of a couch by the bar. Naturally, Scatter did it again. Pat came off the floor and hit that monkey under the chin. He did a backflip and landed on the couch, and he was dazed. He looked at her like he couldn't believe it. He had a head like a bowling ball, and she put a dent in it.
Wow.
One of Scatter's favorite pranks was to lie on his back on the edge of the couch so he'd be half on the couch, half off. When a girl walked by, he'd crook his finger up to the, under the hem of her skirt, stick his head up there. He really had a thing about that. Sometimes he would pleasure himself in front of everybody. Elvis loved that.
Oh, God.
Believe it or not, we did not teach him to do that. But Sonny and Alan would put him in a bedroom with a couple making love, and the monkey would get excited and jump on the guy's back. We knew a woman named Brandy who came to Elvis's parties. She was a stripper, but she didn't come to the party as one. She was a guest. She liked to play with Elvis's chimp. Thought it was fascinating. One night the monkey got in her lap and she had a low-cut blouse. Scatter kept running his finger down her cleavage. Elvis said, is he bothering you? No. Elvis said, if you don't mind, let's see how far he'll go.
Elvis.
And the monkey started unbuttoning with both hands. Scatter started off with someone's drink one night. Turned out he was a goddamn alcoholic. He liked beer, but he could down a fifth of liquor before you knew it. He'd get so damn drunk that monkey would fall off the couch onto the floor and just slide. He got loose in Elvis's Bel Air home once. Next door neighbors were real upset. Final straw came when he went over there again. They were having a fancy cocktail party and Scatter went roaring through their house with his hands up and all the hair standing up on the back of his neck. He went, woo, 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 loud as a freight train, you know. When he screamed, God damn, it would send chills down your spine. He scared the hell out of party guests, especially when the monkey ran towards him. He just wanted his attention, really. Elvis's attention. They didn't know that when they saw him. He'd go down and just go about his business. But man, they went nuts. They said people went up on the back of couches and on tables. Scatter would clear a house. So that did it. Elvis banned Scatter from Bel Air.
Oh, no.
We had to take him back to Memphis.
This is the sad part coming up here.
You think so?
The sad part in the life of Scatter the Monkey.
So far, he's been put in hot water. He's been hit. Mm-hmm. He's been stuck with a cattle prod and
in the hot water.
Hit with a pool cue.
Scatter met a sad end.
Oh,
we put him outside behind Graceland. He couldn't stand being left alone after all the attention he'd gotten. Elvis's monkey died out there by himself, hanging on to the side of his cage. It was cold. When we took Scatter back to Graceland, the maids had to feed him because we were gone so much. One day, a maid named Daisy went out there, and she had her wig on, and that damn chimp grabbed that wig right off her head. It scared a couple of years off her life. We always thought that she had poisoned him. It wouldn't surprise me. Because not long after that, Elvis's monkey came up dead. I happened to be in the backyard when they took him off. Scatter was hard as a brick bat. Frozen dead. Two guys came from the animal shelter. Each guy had one arm supporting him because he was upright with his long monkey arms out and his legs bowed. It was eerie. It kind of shocked me. Elvis stood there and watched. They just carried him out onto their truck and hauled him off. Poor old Scatter. Alan cried and cried. Elvis was hungry. That's the story of Scatter the Monkey.
Lovely.
Good old Scatter. Good old Scatter.
And you know, if you were a superstar in rock and roll, wouldn't you have a monkey too if you could have one?
Of course you would.
Especially if you had guys that would drive it across the country for you.
And then when the monkey would piss him off, put the monkey in a hot bathtub and poke him with a cattle prod.
Put it under the stairs.
Yeah.
And then you'd have a cocktail party and everybody would be over at your house like, let him out now, boys.
All right, now when we come back, we got a break again. When we come back,
yes.
We've got the Elvis impersonator that I have no idea what the hell we're going to say to this guy.
Who knows?
But I do think that we better get to the best Elvis tape ever. We better get to the, you know, you can't do anything anymore, Jack. They write about you in the newspaper.
This is Elvis on stage, I believe, at the Las Vegas Hilton.
Yes.
And he's talking about the allegations that he was strung out, and he raves out, but obviously the whole time he's saying how straight he is, he's totally messed up.
It's the best Elvis tape you will ever hear.
And whenever we hear it, think about the fact of anybody that was in the audience that night where you paid to hear somebody sing and you listen to, you know, what amounts to about a 20-minute monologue.
Mike, hold on real fast before we go to break. Wherever Elvis was, in his den, in his car, in a movie theater, he always carried his kit, a cigar box that had the following 15 items. Wood-tip cigars, plain cigars, tube of Blistex.
Right.
Territon cigarettes, 2 packs. Small bottle of Dristan. Small bottle of Super Antihistamine. 1 card package of Contact. 1 tin Sucrets. 2 small bottles of eye drops. 2 emery boards and fingernail file.
That kit must have smelled great.
Matches. 1 jar of iPads for Los Angeles only.
I need my iPads for L.A.
Gum. Sour balls, gloves, and sunglasses.
Yeah, man.
That pales in comparison to this list. Do I have time here, Rob?
If you like.
If I like. I can do it in 55 seconds. The items that Elvis demanded be kept in his pantry at all times, every day. Fresh, lean, unfrozen, ground round meat. 1 case regular Pepsi. 1 case orange drinks. Rolls, hot rolls, brown and served. Cans of biscuits, at least 6. Hamburger buns, pickles, potatoes and onions, assorted fresh fruits, sauerkraut, wieners, at least 3 bottles of milk and half cream. Thin, lean bacon, mustard, peanut butter, fresh, hand-squeezed cold orange juice. Nana pudding made fresh each night. Ingredients for meatloaf and sauce. Brownies fresh each night. Ice cream, vanilla and chocolate, shredded coconut, fudge cookies, gum, spearmint, double mint, juicy fruit, 3 packs each, cigars, El Producto Diamond Tips, cigarettes, Dristan, Super Antihistamine, Contact, Sucrets, Antibiotic Red Box, Feniment Gum, which is a laxative, and 4 to 5 books of matches.
Elvis really didn't want to run out of Dristan. Ever.
No.
He liked it.
You need to keep those nasal passages open, Jack.
That's right. Jack, how great is that? How great is that, Elvis?
And of course, as we found out later on, things like Dristan you can get addicted to. Hey.
You think so, man?
Yeah, Jack.
You think so? Hey.
Lord have mercy.
Lord have mercy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like you to meet one of the fellows who promoted me to 8th degree black. His name is Ed Parker. He's about
Parker.
18 kinfolk schools around the country. Ed Parker.
Hey, Parker, how you doing, Parker?
Hey.
Come on, E. Come
Hello,
on, E.
Hello, fellow in the audience. to his books. This friend of mine, his name is John O'Grady.
It will fascinate you.
He's written a book. He was head of the narco squad in Los Angeles for 26 years. And on the 166th page, he's got about three pages about me and my ex-wife or so, and about our friendship, and what? About that maternity suit.
What, Elvis?
Turned to be a complete conspiracy and a hoax, man. And I just, no way.
How great is this?
I had a picture made with that chick, and that's all. I mean, she got pregnant with a camera, a Polaroid or something. Anyway, it's all in this book. It's a little... And watching Polaroid cameras, boy. But you know what she did?
What?
Well, she goofed up.
Oh. She named the night.
She named the night. The night she named, yeah. My wife was in... No, my wife was with me in the audience.
What?
And that's nice, she said. Ain't no way I'm going to fool around with her out there. You kidding me?
You kidding me?
Hey,
so anyway, let me tell you something.
What?
If you like things like the French Connection...
I do.
The Chinese Connection, the British Connection, the knee connection to the jawbone, arm bone, neck to arm bone, hand bone, neck to... If you like that type of stuff, buy this book. It's called O'Grady. It'll be in print when, John? September 27th. It will fascinate you. It's about 26 years of a hardline policeman working in the narco squad out of Hollywood.
Narco.
So you can imagine what it's like. By the way, it's called O'Grady. Yeah.
Okay. There you go.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
John just came back from New York. We had a meeting of this. I have been a member of this organization for 5 years. International Narcotics Enforcement Officers Association.
Right.
In recognition of the outstanding loyalty and contribution to the support of narcotic law enforcement, this award of special honors bestowed upon Elvis Presley, testimony, himself, lifetime member, International Narcotics Enforcement Officers Association.
Plus that.
Has that been made debate?
How
great is that guy?
That's the beginning of his big rave out.
How great is that?
Unbelievable.
And 27 years later.
Right.
Still dead.
Still doing it.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Joe Smith also did Elvis's bidding. She screamed the girls who came to see the king.
Elvis started sending me down to see what they looked like. And if they... One big thing he had was clean fingernails and clean toenails. That's what he told you to look for?
That's right,
if
baby.
If they have dirty toenails, get rid of them. And then I would have to sit and talk to him a few minutes and then say excuse me and go upstairs and, you know, report. If I said they looked okay or they looked good, then he would say, you know, it's like the spider waiting upstairs, you know, and bring her on up.
She have dirty feet?
Did she ever feel... I mean, you were going down there and helping him procure women. They were there for that reason. Why did they come?
Look, let me see your feet.
The Don and Mike Show.
It's a great privilege to do this satellite program, and I'm going to do my best, and all of the people that work with me, to do a good show, which is pure, you know, entertainment. No messages and no this and that. Just try to make people happy for that 1 hour that he comes across.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the mundus.
Hot dog. The Don and Mike Show.
Is this the Elvis impersonator?
Yes, I forget his name.
Oh, God, I got it here somewhere.
Elvis.
You know, I don't even know if we've got time for him or not.
Always time.
Well, listen, we'll have to apologize in advance if we are
Sir curt. Rick Marino?
Yeah. Hey, Sam. If we are curt with him, it's because time is of the essence.
Yes.
We've got the E2E phone scan.
Right.
We've still not heard the great tape about Elvis with, you know, rip your tongue out by the goddamn...
Raving out.
Mm-hmm. Also... I want to get to on today's show the hot dog roll stories, yep. Elvis going snake hunting with a machine gun, Elvis shooting flashbulbs in the pool, Elvis shooting his toilet, and the cough syrup and champagne stuff.
Cough syrup, yes.
I know that's one of your favorites.
My favorite.
Buzz. Okay, let's welcome and join him now. Here is Rick Marino. Hey, Rick.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
And Rick's book is Be Elvis, A Guide to Impersonating the King.
Wow. So how long have you been an Elvis impersonator?
The first time I was ever, I guess you could say professionally, considered an Elvis impersonator was November of 1973.
Wow. So you started before Elvis died?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And where have you worked? What are your biggest venues, Rick?
I'll start with something that's applicable right now. 1988, we were doing a show all over Asia, and we were in Korea, in Seoul. And while we were there, the Summer Olympics were going on. And they asked us if we would be part of the Olympic Song Festival.
Ah.
So we were on worldwide TV, 500 million people.
Oh, my darling.
And singing Elvis.
We are seeing Elvis in Asia. Oh, my darling.
Elvisaw, they would go, oh, Elvisaw. They called me Lick.
Elvisaw.
That's my name.
Lick. They go, you're like, oh, my darling. Clementine. So you are, on the scale of Elvis impersonators, are you the world's best? Are you somewhere in the middle? Give yourself a ranking.
I tell you the truth. When I was in my prime, I think I was among the best. But you know, I've gotten older now, and I still, what you lose in, you know, in looks and energy, you gain in presence. And
have you ever thought, Rick? Excuse me. Have you ever thought as you get older, as we all do, and you know, you gain a couple of pounds?
Right.
Have you ever thought about altering the act to be the Elvis, Fat Elvis, at the end?
No.
Have you ever thought seriously about doing the Elvis when he, you know, would forget the words to songs and stuff like that? At that, is there any kind of market? I guess if you're doing that, you're going to get the diehard Elvis fans are going to get mad at
them off.
Right?
Well, it's funny because you know every time we do a new song or something, I'll bring the words up on stage with me and read off the music because I know Elvis did that.
Yeah.
And I'm really doing it because I don't know the words of the song, and the people in the audience always say, oh, that was so neat how you did that, just like Elvis. And I laugh, you know, because all the guys in the band know. Yeah, they only knew. So, yeah, so we have a pretty good time, you know.
So since you were in Honeymoon from Vegas, right?
Yeah,
Honeymoon in Vegas.
Did Honeymoon in Vegas, and I did this movie called Finding Graceland. I spent a year with Harvey Keitel.
Oh, I saw that. Harvey Keitel.
All right.
Yeah, we went to Memphis together, and we went all over, and it was really neat. And my favorite Harvey Keitel story can kind of relate when it was Bill Clinton's birthday. He was the MC, and he got a picture of Bill Clinton with his daughter Stella, and got an autographed to her and everything. And while I was at Harvey's apartment up there in New York, him and Robert De Niro are neighbors, by the way. It's pretty cool. But while we're sitting there, I whipped out one of my 8x10s, and I said, well, I'm not the president, but, you know, I autographed it and gave it to Stella, and she goes, oh, this is a lot cooler than the picture with the president.
There you go.
I was mad because Harvey had gone through all that trouble to get her that picture, but he told me, he said, that's all right. He said, I can appreciate that.
That's all right, baby.
I thought that's all right.
Now, right now, do you have the black hair? I mean, do you have the look now? Do you still impersonate?
That's all I do for a living. I've made a living. I've been in show business, basically. When we did it back in the 70s, it was part of a novel.
All right. Oh, hold on.
We had Elvis in the show.
Hey, dude, you seem like a real nice guy with a real good sense of humor.
Uh-huh.
But you're in showbiz like we're in showbiz.
Right.
Okay. I mean, you ain't in showbiz. We ain't in showbiz.
No, really. I was the record producer in Nashville. I produced George Strait's first album when he had Amarillo by Morning and Marina Del Rey.
Then what the hell happened?
Yeah, when did you decide to do the Elvis thing?
Well, that's what I'm trying to tell you. We did the Elvis as part of the show. I mean, we were making $500,000 a year back in the 70s doing a nostalgia act all over the country. And
wait, you were
I came back to Jacksonville where I live.
You were making $500,000 a year while Elvis was still alive doing an Elvis impersonator thing?
Yeah, 15 other guys in the band, but, I mean, we were pretty successful.
That is successful back in those days.
And then in the 83, you know, somebody asked me, you used to do Elvis, why don't you do this for us, and I hadn't done it in 4 or 5 years after he died. I didn't do it, and they asked me, and I did it, and it's just this is kind of odd because I ended up getting 5 or 6 people calling me, wanting me to do Elvis here and there, and next thing you know, I'm traveling all over the world doing Elvis.
Would you sing for us, Rick? Sing anything you like. Your favorite Elvis song.
Oh, man, I've got a bad cold. I know they told you.
No, they didn't. Imagine you've taken some, what is it, Elvis?
Gristan.
What was it? Treat me like a fool. Treat me mean and cruel. Oh, yeah, but love me. Break my faithful heart.
Okay.
That's okay with a cold. That's okay with a cold. What's the most money you ever made impersonating it? What's the best year you ever had?
Oh, yeah, I've done well. I've made easily $10,000 to do one show. You know, easily. And cool. You know, I did the World's Fair in Buenos Aires, Argentina, there's so many things. You know, I was on To Tell the Truth, Will the Real Rick Marino Please Stand Up?
Oh.
Pretending to be me. It was pretty cool.
At the time of his death, let me ask you a trivia question. At the time of his death, how much did Elvis's colon weigh?
I don't know about his colon, but I know he weighed 255 pounds.
But how much? What about his colon? It was impacted and chalky.
Oh, he had severe case of piles, no question about it.
Yeah.
Would you like to guess the poundage?
No.
Come on, take a guess. It's our standard Elvis trivia question.
Give or take, either side will give or take 10 pounds. We'll give it.
Oh, 10 pounds is much too generous.
Well, you know, he obviously doesn't know. Go ahead.
Well, you know what? That just depends on how much BS you want to say that Elvis had going for him.
Yeah, well, you're not going to answer, but the is 40 pounds. 40 pounds.
40 pounds.
40 pounds is the answer.
40 pounds. The coroner's report.
It's always nice to ask somebody.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's quite a trivia question.
Yes, it is.
And is Johnny Hara a jerk?
I don't think Johnny's a jerk. The thing with Johnny is he gets fat and he goes into hiding. And he'll lose weight, and he'll show up somewhere, and people will see him. And
he's another one of these Elvis guys.
Severe weight problem, up and down.
Johnny Hara,
like Elvis.
He's currently in hiding.
Is Johnny Hara in hiding?
I believe he lives in Texas right now.
Yeah, most of the state. He is in hiding right now. He's the guy who played Elvis when seen from behind in This Is Elvis.
Right.
He couldn't sing very well, but he sure looked like him an awful lot. He had a pretty brief but very successful career in Las Vegas for about a year.
Wow.
Well, very nice. Very nice talking to you, Rick. Thank you for being on the show. What do you want to plug, a book or something?
I'll tell you what I'd like to plug, if you don't mind.
Sure.
For all you Elvis fans out there. By the way, I was in Washington, D.C. with my son for Reagan's funeral not too long ago. We had a great time.
It was joyous.
We had a great time.
That's a great time.
It was very joyous.
It was wonderful for him, you know.
Yeah, not too good for him, no.
Oh, no, you know. And
it was very bad for him.
My son's favorite movie is Elvis Meets Nixon. He loves it.
What is your plug, Rick? What is your plug?
No, really, if all you cats out there that are interested in Elvis impersonators, there's a group up in Canada called LadyLuck.com. And they do a radio show every month, and anything you want to know about Elvis impersonators or information of Elvis and links or whatever,
right.
Get on the internet and go there. I think that you'll have a real good time.
What's the website? Do you have the title of the website again?
It's Lady Luck, LadyLuck.
LadyLuck.com. All right, Rick, thank you for being on our show.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Get out of here. Bye-bye.
If only I could have seen what was happening to me, I might have done something about it.
Now,
I remember him at the Buenos Aires World's Fair.
Caught that as well.
Yeah. Yes, sirree, Jack. Those are the good days.
Elvis is still dead.
Yes.
Oh. It's our annual Elvis is Dead show, the 27th annual edition.
We could have gone into great detail with that guy about how to be Elvis.
I know, Mike, he set up a whole press thing.
Hair and makeup, Don, giving the Elvis look. Creative costuming.
Getting your show ready.
Getting your act on the road.
Marketing and publicity.
And, of course,
being Elvis.
I was in Washington, D.C. for the funeral and had a lovely time.
It was joyous.
My son's favorite movie is Elvis Meets Nixon.
That's cinema.
Here's an Elvis story that I love. The Elvis hot dog roll story.
Yes.
Go, Billy.
This is a good one. The hot dog and hamburger bun kick was a strange one for Elvis. He would tie that wrapper around the horn of his goddamn saddle and ride his horse eating hamburger and hot dog buns.
Yeah.
A lot of times, Elvis would take two or three sleeping pills, and he couldn't sleep them off. Because you can't sleep when you've taken 500 milligrams of something else right beforehand. Hell, he'd get up after 2 hours and go on about his normal day. Let me tell you, Lee Marvin and Cat Ballou didn't have anything on Elvis. Just because he'd get up on the horse about the time the sleeping pills took effect, the faster he rode, the more he leaned. Elvis would walk around the ranch blown out of his skull. Cowboy hat on, gloves, cowboy boots, jeans, and this big padded pile coat that made him look even fatter. He'd be so stuffed in that jacket, his walk was a waddle. And in his one hand, he'd have that plastic see-through bag of hot dog buns. Looked like a little kid walking around with a sack in his hand. He'd talk to you. He'd be slurring his words. He'd take a bite of his bun, sort of ripping it off. Couldn't understand what he was saying for sure. It was just this muffled noise. Somebody talking through bread. How great is that?
Oh, you gotta love it.
I don't pay attention to rumors.
Uh-huh.
I don't pay attention to movie magazines. I don't read them because they're all junk.
It's great.
And, I don't mean to put anybody's job down. I'm talking about they have a job to do, and they got to write something. So if they don't know anything, they make it up.
Uh-huh.
You know, so in my case, they make it up. Well, I hear rumors flying around. I got sick in the hospital. Well, I was, you know, in this day and time, you can't even get sick.
Can't get sick.
You are strung out.
Yeah. Strung out.
Well, by God, I'll tell you something, friend. I have never been strung out in my life, except on music.
Righty, except on music.
Good for you.
Applause.
When I got sick in the hotel, I got sick of the one night. I had 102 temperature. They were letting me perform. From three different sources, I heard. Strung out. I swear to God, hotel employees, Jack.
Jack.
Bellboys.
Freaks.
Freaks who carry your luggage up to the room. People working around, you know, talking. Maids. And I was sick. I was getting a doctor, had the flu, and I met over one day and was like, all across this town.
Strength.
I told him earlier, and don't you get offended, ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to somebody else.
This is somebody else.
If I find or hear the individual that has said that about me, I'm going to break your goddamn neck, you son of a bitch.
They applauded. Yay, Elvis.
Boy,
yeah. He's really upset.
That is dangerous. That is damaging to myself, to my little daughter.
My daughter.
To my father.
My doctor.
To my friends. My doctor. To everybody in my relationship with you. My relationship with the state, it is dangerous. I will pull your goddamn tongue out by the roof. Thank you very much.
Disturbed applause.
Yeah. Thank you very much. That's the best part. That's the greatest Elvis tape.
I believe so.
That you will ever hear.
So that will pull your tongue out by the roots. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
By the goddamn roots. Thank you very much.
And the audience applause.
Yeah. Yay, Elvis. Hey. Yeah, you're great, Elvis.
Get him,
and also, to put it in perspective, he was only allowed to play for 1 hour
right.
when he did a Vegas show. So that was roughly a quarter of his show. You really got your money's worth that night.
Oh, God. I've got Elvis and Baby Talk. Elvis loves peaches and popsicles. Elvis hates Robert Goulet. Elvis's Graceland bedroom.
How about the flash bulbs?
Snake hunting. Elvis loves the morgue.
Well, I love the morgue.
The morgue is a good one. I know you like the flash bulbs. I think what we're going to have to do is take some phone calls right now.
You think so? But it's not going to be an ordinary phone.
No,
again,
it's not.
It?
You want to get in line to get on the air at 877-365-3636.
I'm ready to talk to the public, Jack.
I've not gone into character yet, Mike.
I have shaken my right hand in that Elvis way. Mike O'Mara, 8.
It's time for the E to E phone scan. This is a new addition to our Elvis Death Day show.
And we'll have to fly them both in, of course.
And as always, you can call about any topic. Mm-hmm. These calls are unscreened. 877-365-3636 from America. Canada, 800-636-1067. Washington, D.C. on WJFK, 202-432-1067. We won't be taking the calls. Elvis and Elvis will be taking the calls.
Absolutely.
EAP and EAP will be taking the calls.
Sure.
and they will fly into their helicopters.
Technically, Rob should even start the break because Elvis to Elvis are going to be flying in.
Right.
If you really want to do it the right way.
Well, I don't think we need to. I think we can do it just the way we're doing it.
We'll pretend.
Okay?
I understand.
It's much like, you know.
You know, I've always felt insecure about the bit, Don. You know, I've always wanted to make it sing. Wanted to make it bigger than life.
Well, listen, as we've always said, who cares what the listeners think?
This is true.
It's always, Elvis to Elvis has always been something we've loved, and no one's ever loved except us.
We've made it work in spite of them.
Now we're simply moving Elvis to Elvis to a new part of the show.
Where you can ask them all the questions that you would want to ask Elvis, or Elvis.
Or simply ask them questions about today's current events.
They're up on that. They're fine. They're, you know, unlike the real Elvis, our Elvis to Elvis, all right, we are not dead.
That was a devastating storm this weekend.
Man, I'd like to say my sympathies go out to everybody impacted by Charlie.
And what about our basketball team?
What a letdown to the Puerto Rican national team.
We lost to the Puerto Ricans.
I don't understand that.
What's
if only they'd
that?
Seen what was going on. See, this is what it'll sound like, Jack. All right, who do you like, John Kerry or George Bush? I'll be voting for Nixon.
Try to surround yourself with people who can give you a little happiness because you only pass through this life once, Jack. You don't come back for an encore.
Hey, Jack, my boy, my boy.
Okay, Jack. E2E phone scam, that is next.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Elvis was typecast in Hollywood, and his friends say he hated it. The plots were all the same. A girl, a song, a fight, and a kiss. But as frustrated as he said he was, Elvis never stood up to his manager, Colonel Tom Parker, who kept making million-dollar movie deals.
I'll tell you how bad he used to get in some of these pictures. He would hate him so much that his nose would start to bleed. The pressure of him thinking of what he was having to do.
Right. Come on, wasn't that also mostly because of the pills and the drugs he was taking?
No.
Yeah.
This is in the 60s, and you used to have to get towels to stop.
The Don and Mike Show.
Towels to stop his nosebleed.
A colossal waste of time. The Don and Mike Show.
Maybe I didn't treat you.
Elvis is still dead. That's why we're doing this show today. You know, I got a lot of stuff from the weekend I didn't get to. The road trip to Clemson to take my son back to college.
Yeah. Right.
While my wife lounged at the beach with her gal pals. 1,000 miles in just over like 28 hours.
And you're still fresh.
Fresh as a daisy. Olympics thoughts. Oh, I had the anger on the road yesterday on the highway.
Oh, no.
On I-81. Just some jerk-faced driver that I'd like to tell you about. Foot fetish DVDs. They're here, Mike. Good. From the guy at Big Ass Video. So we'll share those with you.
Very exciting.
On tomorrow's show, all of that. Plus, we're going to have a local girl.
Kick-ass video, not big-ass video.
I wanted to also say, I know a lot of people sent cards and letters down wondering about whether my house was destroyed or not, and I'm happy to say it was not destroyed.
Oh, that's
so
good.
I want to, you know, I believe that's all. Oh, that's right. I didn't get any cards or letters. I just wanted to say everything's fine. I talked to my next-door neighbor. They're alive, and everybody's doing fine, but they didn't get power down there until last night, and some of their neighbors up the road are still in the shelter.
Wow. I don't have anything funny to say to that.
No, I mean, I wish everybody the best down there. I mean, a lot of people got wiped out, and it's real scary. Said it's an eerie scene down there. Anybody that's ever been through anything like that, it's just terrifying.
Sheila Sagany will be on the show tomorrow.
Good.
She's some local girl. Have you ever heard of this WB show called Studio 7?
No.
I never heard of it. She won $77,000 last week, and now she's going to compete in 2 weeks for $777,000.
For what?
Wow. Some dumb game show.
It's really? On WB, right?
Yeah.
I think it's Pepsi sponsored, and they can win up to $1 million.
Okay. Oh, that's right. It's a Pepsi drinking contest.
Also tomorrow, now, I'm not sure about this. Rupert from Survivor. This is from our BFD Who Cares file.
And now he comes on the show.
Yeah. Right. So we're going to have Michael Hughes, the vice president of Infinity, who said that he could get him on the show. We're going to make him interview the guy tomorrow.
And all my money at Price Club.
And also tomorrow, a return from the Reverend Speaker Gerald Poley. This is the old dude who speaks regularly to Jesus.
I think we need to talk to him. Find out what's going on. Yeah.
So, man, we got a lot of... Oh, and the singing senator sent us a song about us that we'll hear tomorrow.
Wonderful.
Right. So, man, we got a lot of stuff to get to tomorrow.
I wonder if it's the same melody to all his other songs.
No, I believe it is. I hope so. I hope so. I got so much to tell you from this weekend. I'm taking my kid down to college. But it'll all wait until tomorrow, because today's about Elvis.
All right.
Elvis is still dead. And Mike, off in the distance, I think I see the two whirlybirds. Or is it just one this time?
They're coming in on one, Don, and they must be sitting on one side because it's kind of lilting to the left. Yeah, that's the helicopter.
There it is. There it is. And it's time for the phone scan. E to E. Elvis to Elvis. Hey, man. Are we going to land this baby?
Hey, I'll put that down on the field next to the radio station, man.
All right, let's land this. Land this chopper.
We got the phone calls. Phone calls.
Land the chopper.
There you go, Jack.
Thank you very much. Hi. Hello, everybody. I'm EAP.
And I'm Elvis Aaron Presley. It's great to be here on a... What they like to call a phone scam.
Not really sure what this is. We'll take these calls, though.
Take calls, you fool.
Right now. Hello, this is E to E.
E to E.
Yes, hello.
Yes, hello, young man. What can we do for you?
There is a positive electricity that is running through your studio today that I find electrifying, but nobody can contain his glee more than the boy.
Are you doing some kind of Elvis impersonation?
What are you doing? Come on now, get off the phone. Serious inquiries only, please.
I will tell you, I feel energy surging through my body.
I've just had 24 cookies and 8 scoops of ice cream.
Hey, Elvis?
Yes, E.
I'm planning to take a nap later. Will you wake me up and feed me a cherry pie?
With my hands, of course, yes.
Thank you very much.
Hello.
Hello, E to E.
This is the Don of my show, E to E.
Yeah, how are you, sir?
Oh, great. Greetings from Wichita, home of Poopy McDonald's. Are you going to play the tape of the Diamond Ring?
I don't understand what he's talking about when he says...
Look at that son of a bitch.
Poopy McDonald's.
Are we going to play what tape?
The tape where he talks about Priscilla's Diamond Ring. Look at that son of a bitch.
If we have time, we will get to that, sir.
Absolutely, sir. What else can we do for you?
I will see you later at Constipation Wendy's.
Freedom from constipation.
Right, not to be confused with Poopy McDonald's.
I say I'm starting to get minorly agitated, Jack. These people, Jack, trying to do impressions of Elvis.
Hello, telephone line.
E to E.
Yes, hello.
Good day to you both.
Right.
Just wondering, did you ever meet Michael Jackson?
I met that freak.
Did you ever, because I'm just wondering if you were insulted by the fact that he took your pickup methods. That girl that you got drunk with the codeine and the champagne glasses.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't he kind of do the same thing with the
he called it Jesus
champagne?
Juice. He called it Jesus juice.
And yeah, but we're not involved with that kind of thing,
Jack. I'll tell you the difference. Elvis, either me or my twin brother, EAP, we did have young girls up to drink codeine out of champagne.
Yeah, I just want to distance ourselves from that sick crap that's going on right now. I'm just going to tell you right now,
we're not kid touchers.
We would have people go down to the gates, mm-hmm. and they get girls for us, and then we photograph them.
We are not kid touchers unless
they were two-way mirror.
Unless they were girls.
I find it strange you don't keep in touch with your son-in-law. Keep in mind, he was married to Lisa Marie.
Oh, you mean Nicolas Cage?
No, honey. Ooh. Michael Jackson.
Yeah. Michael Jackson was also married to...
Oh, that is
Lisa Marie.
So that makes him your son-in-law.
I'm sorry, we just cramped up there. We had a cranial cramp there.
Hello, this is the E2E phone scam.
You are dead. It's
you
okay.
are correct, old big-headed one.
Hello.
All the ladies are jealous of my long nails.
Oh, that is Major Bill Smith. He is a man who claimed he knew us. He never actually knew us.
No, of course, we were
dead. Didn't know much.
We were dead a long time before he started lying to people, that cheap carny.
Hello. This is the Donna Mike Show E2E phone scan.
Hello, Jack. How are you? Where are you phoning from, Jack?
What's happening, you freak?
Hello.
Hello.
Speak
Hello.
To us.
Yes, you're on the air.
Yeah, did you know you can get the absinthe in Canada now?
I've never sampled that. I'd like to try that, though, if you'd like it.
I believe it is something that is illegal. And as you know, I'm a federal narcotics agent, and I would not want to be involved with anything like that.
We would not consume anything illegal. We are federal officers. You got that, Jack?
Stop that plane.
My boy, my boy.
Stop that plane. Women are getting all buttery.
Buttery, man. Don't do that. I'll tell you, Jack, that makes me angry.
Hello, phone scan.
I look at my badges.
Hello, phone scan.
Hello. Yeah.
Look at all the babies we've killed.
Where are you phoning us from today, Jack?
Hello.
Yeah, hello, dumbass. This is EAP.
You having trouble hearing us, Jack?
I didn't know if I was on the air or not.
Of course you didn't. Well, why don't you pay attention, Jack?
What would you like to say?
I just want...
You know what I just did, E?
You hung up on
him? I hung up on him.
Hey! Are you lonesome tonight?
Plus tax.
Plus tax.
Hello, phone scan.
E!
Speaking?
Right here.
I was wondering if the two of you ever experienced that theme Bravo Lingus with one another.
Sorry, we got to run, Grease Man.
I must say I find the comedy of Doug Track to be untimely.
I think that's just not good stuff, Jack.
I did enjoy Dr. Chip Bandwidth.
He was fantastic on that infomercial.
Hello, phone scam.
Elvis, my brother.
Is nobody going to ask us about today's hottest current events such as Alien versus Predator or perhaps the Olympics.
Man, it's a great movie, Jack. I'm ready to shut down the theater and go enjoy that myself.
No, my question is in regard to why Elvis chose so many other drugs, but not the Mary Jane.
Marijuana,
I want to tell you something. I will speak now from experience as Elvis Presley.
I will, too. Also, I would like to make a statement. I have a prepared statement about that.
I do not do drugs. Drugs are for bad people. The drugs that I took were drugs.
That's bad and good.
Drugs to help me feel better.
You're right, Ian. I should point out that everything that we took, Jack, was prescribed to us by Dr. Nick. These were medical necessities.
I want to tell you, the Beatles smoke pot, Jack.
That's what they do.
Look where they are today. Look where they are. Look where we are.
We are both...
Okay, maybe that's a bad example. I did not take hippie drugs, though.
We are both federal narcotics officers, so we would not take anything illegal. But we would take plenty of Excuse me, Jack, I'm speaking to you.
No hippie drugs.
I'm listening, but I just thought that Buzz could share some of his wisdom in on the subject.
I wish you would speak like E and tell this guy to get better.
Man, we don't do the hippie drugs. It's the best it's going to get.
Hello, phone scan.
That was strong, Jack. Buzz does not share the love of E to E.
No,
I love the bit. I'm just not an impression.
Hello there. Neither am I, Buzz. Hello.
In this case, neither am I, Jack.
Hello, phone scan.
Is it as hot and sticky in that pine box of which you now reside as it was in the back of that limo?
Man, can Hawaii get sticky?
It's a hot time. It's a hot time in the coffin.
It is, Jack.
Man, can Hawaii get sticky?
It's a hot time in Florida.
Let me say something, Jack. That paunch is a bulletproof vest.
All right. Hello, this is the Don and Mike Show. Where are my deodorant pills?
Oh, take them right now and you sponge off.
Oh,
I'm digging in my foot. Oh, gotta get something good for that.
That pleases me greatly. Hello, phone scan.
Hello, Elvis Presley.
Come on, speak.
Hello, E.
Speak, you fool.
Come on, fool.
You fool. Hello, E.
Come on now, you fool. You said hello, E, for the second time.
All right. My mama's birthday is the same as yours. Will you buy her a caddy?
A Cadillac?
I'll buy her a Cadillac.
You come down here, I'll throw you the keys, Jack.
I'm only buying a Cadillac for my dad.
1959 Cadillac for you, Jack.
I'm getting away from the bit right now. I'm being a little me right there.
Hey, that's right.
My real daddy is out there. Don't forget, daddy, a caddy for my daddy.
I hope daddy can call to get a real Cadillac.
Hello, phone scam.
Yes, what do you both think about when you use a tube sock like famous disc jockey Don Geronimo?
I believe you're asking something of a sexual nature, and it's a good thing you've hung up.
Because that's forbidden. We would disqualify.
I want to say something.
Yeah.
I have a cramp.
Oh,
I have a cramp right now. I'm getting a cramp.
What kind of cramp, you fool?
I believe it's a cramp from inactivity.
Oh, dear. Oh.
In my right, apparently my entire right side, I'm getting a cramp.
Has cramped up.
I'm cramping up.
Hey, man.
Where are my cramp pills?
Hey, Red Lamar, get him a cherry pie. Or get him some peas.
Where are my TV glasses?
Hey, hello. Get him a fool's loaf.
Phone scan. You fool.
Fool.
Hello.
Hello.
Elvis do Elvis.
Hey, darling.
Darling. Hey, darling.
Hi, I just want to thank you. You have given us another reason to celebrate Elvis.
Thank you, baby.
You're goddamn right, honey.
We got up this morning and had hot fudge sundaes, my children and I, for breakfast. We had peanut butter and banana sandwiches and hamburgers for lunch.
Oh,
and
man.
I think we're going to have bacon, mashed potatoes, and peas for dinner.
You know, you'd like to come over to the studio. We'd give you some cough syrup.
Well, that would be tough.
Hands.
I'm calling from California.
California.
California. Do I like it out there? When I go out there, I've got my box, my cigar box that I bring with me.
Why don't you come over to our Bel Air?
My iPads.
Why don't you come over to our Bel Air mansion? We'll introduce you to Scatter.
I would love to. You would not believe who used to live next door to us. Nude Elvis.
Elvis.
I have bad news for you, EAP.
Yeah, what's that, EAP?
Scatter the monkey is dead, regretfully.
Oh, ow, I just twisted violently, man. Look at my bed sores.
I should
get some good stuff for that.
I'm still cramping. Hello. Donna Mike Show, E to E.
EAP.
Right.
Julia Childs is dead, my boys, and she made the best goddamn fool's gold in the world.
Oh, yes, Julia Child would hollow out that warm bread, put in peanut butter and jelly and 1 pound of bacon.
But what a pig that woman was. Hello.
French bread.
Hello. Phone scam.
Unlike us, E. We are not pigs. As we eat in bed with our hands.
Speak for yourself.
I'd like 8 scoops of ice cream and 24 cookies. I'm still not sated.
Oink, oink, Jack.
Oink, oink here.
Oink, oink there. Hello, this is the phone scan.
Hey, fellas, just wondering if you like John Peter Lewis.
John Peter Lewis, American Idol.
I want to say that that's a talented, handsome young man.
I'm a fan of that John Stevens boy. I like those redheads. I enjoy that, especially Ann Margaret.
Who I don't like is that commie faggot that's the host of that show.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've put in a call to Dick Nixon
to
say, I want you to watch out for this Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah, there is a friend of mine, John O'Grady. He has been studying Ryan Seacrest, and it will fascinate you. It is a conspiracy. I believe he is a commie.
I called Hoover, and I said, first, let's watch John Lennon.
Uh-huh.
And now, please watch John Peter Lewis and John Stevens.
And, Mike, I would tell you right now that Ryan Seacrest is a communist. I know that because I have an extensive collection of badges.
Hello. Hello, Don and Mike Show, phone scan.
Hello there.
Hello there.
Hello there.
I need some Dristan.
Me too.
All right, thank you for nothing.
This is the phone scan. Do they do this on their show every day?
They do. They do, and
idiotic,
much the same way you're doing it now.
Idiotic calls from people who have no real purpose to call the radio show.
Just be as patient as you can, E. I tell you, this is going great.
Hello?
Hello?
Man, am I constipated.
I'll give you some Phenamine gummy.
I'm cramping, I'm constipated.
Well, man, you need some liquid Demerol is what you need.
Hello, phone scan.
Where's my attack?
What can we do for you?
Oh, I was wondering if you had met a young boy named Charlie.
A young boy named Charlie?
Charlie Stewing Steblack.
He's not a young boy, he's an old man.
He's 63, Jack.
He changed me today.
Is he 62 or 63, Ralph?
64.
He'll be 64. He'll
All
be
I know
64.
Is he changes a mean bedsheet.
Yes, he does, man.
Hello?
Wrap me in it.
Phone scan.
Hello, James Keith, I'm just checking in today. How are you?
Pardon me?
Come again?
Boys, I think it's Keith Richards on the line.
Oh, Keith Richards.
Hey, this is Keith. Yeah, Richards. This is Donna Mike.
How you doing, Keith?
I would say he's in bad shape.
Not so good.
What's the matter, Keith Richards?
I can't feel the right side of my face anymore.
Oh, no.
I'm cramping.
It's cramping, yes.
All right. No new material, thank you.
I am cramping always.
Yes, of course, see.
And I think I got the creeping crud.
Oh, I tell you.
And I'm constipated as hell.
Yes, don't sit down, E, because then you'll have to push stool.
Hello. Hello. Careful, Mike.
Sorry about that. I was trying to figure out the way they explained it in that
straining.
I'm cramping.
Straining stool?
Straining hat.
I'm straining
at stool.
Yes.
I'm cramping and I'm spotting.
Oh,
hello.
Dear.
Phone scan. I've made a terrible mess of my jumpsuit.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry.
Why did I wear white again?
If only they'd have seen me straining and spotting.
Hello, phone scan.
For me?
No, someone else, you goddamn moron. I should come there and rip your tongue out by the roots. Phone scan.
Hey, Edie.
Edie, yeah.
Someone call.
Now, what is
Deion
that?
Sanders is coming to the Baltimore Ravens.
Now, what does that strange sound effect mean?
End of time.
End of time.
Well,
somebody's going to have to call in our chopper at some point so we can fly on out of here.
Before we go, what did you call to say?
I called to say that Deion Sanders is coming to the Baltimore Ravens.
To do what?
To play ball.
You're kidding, Jack.
You believe that, Jack? Jack?
I saw it on the news.
Hey, Jack?
Yeah?
I don't even know who Deion Sanders is. I've been dead for 27 years. Is he related to Harlan Sanders?
Hello?
Hello? I don't know.
You know, I'd love to give the prize to this guy. He's too freaking stupid.
This is true. I'll tell you right now, though, why isn't everyone clamoring for this bit on a weekly basis? That's what I don't understand.
Hello, E2E phone scan.
Yes, I was wondering if EAP, is he now GWB?
Are you calling with a joke?
No, sir.
He's noticed a similarity between the way Elvis sounds and the way George Bush sounds.
This is true.
Thank you for explaining it. It was not good then. It isn't good now.
Look at all my spotting. Look what you have done to me.
Straining its stool.
Listen, dumbass. You're the last person on this phone scan.
Well, all righty then.
So before we fly away, do let me give you a $25 Tower Records gift card. This week at Tower Records.
And then we will wait for the compliments to come in.
All Elvis CDs and DVDs are 25% off at Tower Records.
What a bargain that is.
Everything worth hearing is here. Goodbye, dumbass.
Goodbye.
Enjoy your prize, you fool.
Thanks.
And that's it. Until the next time, I'm Elvis Aaron Presley.
And I'm Elvis Aaron Presley.
I want to say, it's been really great being here on the Don and Mike show today.
Commemorate my death in a nice way.
I'm trying to play the sound effect, Rob. It does not seem to be working. Hold on. There it is. Oh, no.
So long.
Oh, my God. Oh, dear.
Well, they're gone.
They have met it untimely. Hold on. How come they crashed, but I'm still hearing the helicopter? Hold on, wait. Should that be on fire?
Wait a minute. I see a couple of people in there. Oh, no. What has happened over there?
The ambulance.
Incredible wreck over there.
Boy, I mean, we had a car, flames, and a train. Or a plane.
That's the Elvis to Elvis thing.
That bit gets better and better every year.
It sure do.
There it is. Here comes another plane.
We've got the loose ends that we got to take care of on today's show.
The rescue plane.
What the hell is this? No way. The plane ran into the car.
No, the car hit a pole and then the plane ran into it.
The car ran into the... Now it's all burning. Okay. Yeah. All right, turn it off. we have one break left in the Elvis is Still Dead show.
Yes.
We can either try karaoke, or we can... Now, we're running out of stories here. Mike, I know you wanted the flash bulbs in the pool story.
Yeah, that's a real demonstration of the way the Memphis Mafia used to work.
Mm-hmm. I like more talk about sexually retarded Elvis and Elvis's early colon problems.
Didn't know he had them early.
Yeah, he had a lot of colon problems. And he actually wrote, have we ever talked about his colon book?
Didn't know he had one. I don't think we have.
We got it. Look at that right here. Colon.
Well, that's book. A new one then.
Colon book. Have we ever, I don't think we ever read that.
No, that's a good story.
He had a colon, but we'll make it that one. We've never read it before.
Somebody asked Elvis to bring him a book on his colon.
A new story.
It was a sincere curiosity.
You're listening to the Elvis show. The Elvis tribute show. This is the anniversary of the death of the King of Rock and Roll.
Our 27th annual show. Hold on, what else do I got here? Wait a minute, hold on.
What does it say?
It's not our 27th annual, though.
Yes, it is, Mike.
Yeah, right.
Elvis loves machine guns. Well, we haven't gotten to that.
Hard to resist.
Badass Elvis. Elvis is a badass. Hold on. What is it? Towards the end, it was just... Oh, Elvis dies. What the hell is that?
That's when he dies.
Oh, when he dies. Okay. Well, thanks for the post-it on that one.
Well, I mean, it's a good story.
The autopsy? Okay.
Not a surprise ending.
And I think, now do we have more?
Here's a song that we did about two
Yeah, more tapes.
Ago.
Yeah, we got these two.
You.
Wait a minute, we haven't done it yet. But I like it.
Wait a minute. Whoa.
I need another scarf. I don't like this at all.
Okay, but I'm going to tell you something. Honey, just listen. See, I kissed someone here last night, and I caught the creeping crud.
That's every show he ever did. Yeah. It's his shtick.
And if I got it, you're going to get it, okay?
Because a whole bunch of us were all going out with the creeping crud.
Where'd the guy go with my scarf, man?
Come here, Charlie. I'd like to introduce myself, the members of my group. Stomp Skewer on the stage, you fool.
These are some dates we've never heard before.
Members of my group. My tongue is running way away from my mouth now. I can't talk.
Wow!
Wonder why.
Oh, boy. Hold on. Back that one up. I got to hear that one again. You know, every year we have new tapes we've never heard. This is another one we've never heard.
Yeah,
exactly what is he saying here?
I'd like to introduce members of my group. My tongue is running around way away from my mouth now. I can't talk.
Speed. My tongue is wrapped around my mouth.
I can't talk.
Uh-huh. You're right.
First of all, the young ladies that you met are on the show tonight.
Wow.
They've been with me too long, for nearly 5 years. I think they're fantastic. They used to be. Sweet old inspiration. The gentleman back here. What I do? The gentleman back here is one of the finest gospel quartets in the nation.
Quartets
in some parts of Ubangatang, South Africa.
Oh. That's right, man.
Judy Summer, South Quartet.
Yeah,
man.
Damn, fool.
This is brand new. It's not worth bothering with, really. Just
really.
They just seem not to be known, except what hotel they're staying at. The little girl that does our high voice singing has a reason to do that. This is why we hired her to do that. Her name is Kathy
Westmore. What?
I guess you wonder why we laugh a lot.
Yeah.
It's because we're silly, as hell, that's why. Anyway, I like to thank my sound guys. You guys have done a good job tonight. Bill Porter, Felton Jarvis, and Bruce Deuce, whatever his name is. The light man, ladies and gentlemen, wouldn't turn the lights on. I don't know who he is. He was drunk. But
that's fantastic.
It's true. You know, the guy wouldn't turn the lights on. So, but anyway, I have a new record out. It's called T-R-O-U-B.
Problem with that.
And it's got a lot of words to it. And if I miss it, Charlie'd pick it up. I heard someone out there. I heard somebody say to sing, "Trying to Get to You." Okay. We haven't done it in a long time, but I'll see if we can remember it. Okay. I've weave you, somebody.
That's out of sight. That's out of sight. That's fantastic.
There's some new, you know, every year we do this goddamn show, and every year we get some bit of tape that we had never heard before.
Those are some really good tapes.
That's fantastic.
Really good tapes, you fool.
Be right back, fool.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You guys see that rocket this morning?
Oh yeah, did the launch go off?
Yeah, you could see it.
I had
disconnected up there. Gigi never saw the explosion. I didn't know it.
I had launch.
Because there was launch right over here.
I had launch. I was buried in a beaver.
How was your launch?
I don't know. I don't have sound.
Chad held it. There's a mic up there.
I wanted to know.
You got to do a 5-minute monologue over this.
What a friend we have in Jesus.
The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, Danny boy.
Listen, rinse, repeat. The Don and Mike Show.
Elvis is still dead.
Yes, he is.
August 16th, 2004. Did you know Elvis would go to great lengths to get pills? He dug a hole in his foot under the guise of taking out an ingrown toenail.
Yeah, as big as a quarter.
When Scylla was 7 months pregnant, Elvis told her he wanted a trial separation. Elvis didn't want to sleep near Scylla once she became a mother.
Sure.
Elvis's homes had two-way mirrors, so he could spy on guys making out with their girlfriends. Elvis said he would be goddamned if his daughter would marry a black man. He gave blacks all the credit in the world when it came to music, but he thought the races should be separate when it comes to love and marriage.
And
Elvis's favorite foods included a pound of bacon and 6 egg omelets. Elvis slept in bed with his mom until he was 13. When Elvis was on tour, one of the younger guys in the group would put aluminum foil on the windows so it would always be dark the way Elvis liked it. It was a necessity. They fixed his bed, got all his stuff unpacked, and turned the thermostat down to 60, which was Elvis's preferred temperature.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a tomb in there, dark and freezing.
Mm.
In the mid-70s, Elvis started using a synthetic heroin. Elvis would take it by needle or by pill, but he wouldn't inject it himself, because this is what junkies and hippies did. One of the members of the group would shoot it into his hip. As much as Elvis loved Lisa, he didn't want to share the attention. Elvis would say, "Now Daddy's talking, Lisa. You go on and play." He hated for his daughter to upstage him. Elvis started to have trouble controlling his bladder and bowels.
Oh, dear.
Not all the time, but often.
But if you come.
On tour, one of the group would have to check Elvis's bed before they left the hotel.
And all the
it would have been embarrassing if the secret had gotten out.
Man, look at this.
Jerry Schilling, a member of the Inner Circle, introduced Lisa Marie to Michael Jackson when she was six. Elvis had Lisa Marie in Lake Tahoe a few days earlier to rehearse, and the Jacksons were finishing their run there. If it hadn't been for the Elvis Mafia, he would have died 3 years earlier. There were a good five or six times he got so messed up he almost died.
Wow.
He would get shot full of Ritalin and then have to be brought around. First time it happened in Vegas in 74, he had to get a shot of Ritalin straight in his heart. But at the time, at a Howard Johnson motel somewhere, he had the opposite problem. He was so wired, he had to get a shot through his neck to knock him out.
God.
Elvis was known to mutilate himself. He had a hole in his hand you could pick at. It started as a small injury, and by the time he finished, you could have parked a truck in it. And in 1975, Elvis's doctor prescribed 1,296 amphetamines, 1,891 sedatives, and 910 narcotics. In 76, the amphetamines went up by over 1,000 to 2,300. Sedatives up almost 1,000 to 2,600. And the narcotics increased to 1,059. And in 1977, keeping in mind he died in August, only 8 months of the year, he had already had prescribed 1,790 amphetamine prescriptions. The sedatives, 4,996 prescriptions.
We're talking about prescriptions, not pills. Right?
Correct. And 2,019 prescriptions for narcotics in the final 8 months of his life.
How did he die?
Drugs were not a factor.
Drugs were not a factor in his death.
That's a question. A question, Mike. For the ages.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Big Freaky International Hotel. This is my first appearance in 9 years live. And, thank you.
Thank you.
I've appeared dead a few times, but this is my first live appearance. Before the evening is over, I will have made a complete total fool of myself. And I hope you get a kick out of watching it. So I'll be going back here during the show and drinking. Whoa, whoa. Because it's so dry here in Las Vegas, so you get...
Right,
you. Singers have what they call the Vegas throat, and that's when you get real hoarse. You know, like that.
Sounds good.
So you got to drink a lot of water. And I got some stuff back here called Gatorade. Gatorade, man.
Idiot.
Supposed to work like 12 times faster than water. Well, water. I'd like to...
water.
Do a medley of some of my biggest records for you.
Oh, God.
They were actually no bigger than the rest of them. They were all about the same size, but it sounds impressive, you know. It's me. When I first started out in this business, I had three instruments. And we had a guitar and a bass and another guitar. Hey, watch me, man. They're going to come get me at any time. Get him. He's a squirrel. Get him. Well,
what, Elvin?
I tried to think of a special song for tonight.
Good.
special song that really says something, you know, a message song.
Oh, good.
What'd I do? Oh, yeah, I came up with this. I looked her square in the eye because that's all she had was one big square eye right in the middle of her. I said, baby, she said,
Not too effed up.
She was weird, too, you know, she... I got him real close to it. It was a very tender, touching moment, you know. And I said, baby. Sound like a frog, so she got mad and left, you know. She was completely nuts. So I stood there for a minute and waved for the sweat to fall on the floor. And I said, cleared my throat, and they said, look, you can't do that on stage, you fool.
You fool. So,
wow.
Wow.
They're watching me, folks. They're going to come get me. It's just a matter of time, really. I got woolly boogers all over this audience, man, saying, watch him, get him.
Wow.
I heard a funny noise, and I didn't know what it was. So I realized it was me, you know. I take time out to drink water just to look at me and say, is that him?
Dude's tripping.
Squirrely looking guy.
Squirrels.
Jack.
I'd like to,
Wah-wah.
Woolly bully.
I was thinking about the guy that owns this place. He's got to be a little weird, too, man. He's a... He thinks I'm a weirdo. Kirkorian, whatever his name is. I don't know his name. He pays me. I'd like to get him and Howard Hughes in a crap game. That's what I'd like to do. Feels like Bob Dylan slept in my mouth, man. Every time I put this thing on, it's like... You know, a little trouble in the eye with that. They'd say, tension, hut! I go, put him away, man. He's just out of the trees, you know.
How great are these tapes?
So, it was okay, except when I was trying to, you know, trying to play the rifle. I'd like to do this song especially for Colonel Parker's wife. She's in the audience tonight, and she's had an operation. And I'm glad she got a chance to come over to see the show. Miss Parker, I'm really glad you're here tonight. I'd do this song especially for you.
I don't know how to end this, but here's how I'm going to end it. I've decided to end it at the end. There's all kinds of speculation about what book Elvis was reading on the toilet when he died.
That's right.
It was The Scientific Search for the Face of Jesus by Frank Adams. The investigator for the Shelby County Medical Examiner's Office says Elvis was reading a raunchy book about astrology and sexual positions. If he changed books, he changed after Billy Smith left because he remembered it well. Elvis had bent the page over to mark the picture of the shroud and the outline of how Jesus looked. He was sitting there reading it on the toilet now, keep in mind,
right?
While Billy Smith was washing and drying his hair. Lamar means well, never really meant to say this, but this is from Billy Smith now, one of the guys that found Elvis.
Right.
Elvis was actually sitting on the toilet with his pajama bottoms down.
Right.
His colon was bothering him. He fell over. Best I understand, he crawled several feet. So it wasn't an instant death or a painless one. They know that from all those little hemorrhages he had from the waist up, where the blood vessels had burst after he fell. That goes along with the drug death. He may have struggled for a while, too, because he vomited a little bit there and a whole lot more before he died. Ginger says she woke up about 2 in the afternoon and Elvis wasn't in bed, but his reading light was still on. Finally, Ginger got up and went looking for him. She knocked on the bathroom door, and when he didn't answer, she went in and found him slumped on the floor. He was kind of on his left side with his knees drawn and hands underneath his face. When she turned his head, he seemed to breathe once. But dead people often expire just a little later.
Yeah.
She slapped Elvis a couple of times and tried to bring him around.
Sure.
When that didn't work, she went and got Al. Tried to give him mouth to mouth. Elvis' jaw was clamped tight, so Joe tried to bust his front teeth out, but he couldn't get Elvis' mouth open. Elvis had chomped down on his tongue so bad, he had about cut his tongue in half. His tongue was black.
Yeah.
Joe now denies he knocked Elvis' teeth out, but I saw it. It was a hard thing to see. He knocked on Elvis's teeth for a few good minutes. Well, we got there, the Harvey team, that's what Baptist calls the emergency crew, had Elvis in trauma room 2. He's gone. I know he is. The last time I saw Elvis was a glimpse through the door, and he was naked on this steel table. It wasn't a pretty sight.
Oh, no. There it is.
To,
well, that's it. Let's give the king of rock and roll a round of applause.
That's how it ends. That's how the story ends.
Died today at Baptist Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee. Presley was 42 years old. He parlayed a $4 visit to a recording studio into a multi-million-dollar career. He was rushed to the hospital late this afternoon, suffering from what officials say was respiratory distress.
Sure.
He'd been hospitalized several times in recent years for rest and for eye problems. His musical style and his showmanship kept
teenage girls sighing and swooning in the late 1950s.
Well, what can we say? But
Elvis was my friend.
There it is.
And he continues to give now, 27 years later.
Amazing, amazing.
Sure. Join us next. Excuse me, October 9th. August 16th, 2005.
There you go.
For the next Elvis is Still Dead show.
My boy.
And a reminder that we do an abbreviated Elvis show.
Right.
The Elvis birthday show, which is when, Robbie?
January 8th. It will be Elvis' 70th birthday.
Yeah, 70th. Yeah. Special one.
Elvis with the big 70.
Wow.
That's in January. In January.
January.
A lot of the stuff that we didn't get to today, like the flashbulbs of the pool, the Dirty Home movies, peaches and popsicles,
right?
Baby talk, cough syrup and champagne flute. Didn't get to that one.
All that good stuff.
Yeah, well, it'll wait.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Buzz.
Me. He made it up.
And also the karaoke. We didn't get to that today.
And we can do that anytime.
Yeah, well, it's special on Elvis' death day.
Sure.
Buzz?
Yes.
I dare you right now. What's your lead story on your new show? Is the lead story Elvis is still dead?
Well, that is true, but that's not our lead story today. Now maybe all the gay politicians will come out of the closet.
I heard about that guy.
Yeah, man.
I heard of some queer up in New Jersey, man.
The governor of New Jersey, Jack. And you say there's going to be more.
I'll tell you what, Jack.
How special will that be?
That ain't right. What is this? That just ain't right.
That's right, Elvis. You big old bigot.
I like blacks, but don't let them marry my daughter.
That's right. No gays in my band, Jack.
Elvis
Bigot Presley.
Boy, am I cramping.
Sorry.
Stay tuned, everybody.
Stay tuned for news and comments coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
And hey, how about this great music today?
Sure. Beautiful.
Too great.
Rare. We don't hear enough marimba.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, stay tuned, everybody. Mike, that was all very
professional, you fool.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Sanitized for your protection. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Yeah, hey, station break here. The show has been nationally syndicated for 10 years, and here are some of our 10-year decade stations. A decade of indifference in Burlington, Iowa. KCPF. How about WHTK in Rochester, New York? Syndicated one city, one station for 10 years. Sacramento. Yay! KHTK. And it all starts right here. 106.7 WJFK in Washington. Time for Buzz's News, brought to you by Smoke Break tonight.
This is good smoke.
Smokers, break the nasty habit without gaining weight. Smoke Break is revolutionary tablets for smokers and available now at fine retailers. Stop, look, and listen. That's my philosophy.
Yeah.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don. Whenever you cross over railroad tracks.
Stop, look, and listen.
That's very good.
That's my philosophy.
Still Elvis.
I'm cramping. I'm spotting.
Oh, no.
He'll always be with us.
Mm-hmm.
New Jersey Governor James McGreevy may want to reconsider his resignation.
Hello, gorgeous.
A new public opinion poll shows his approval rating higher since he announced he was gay.
Mm-hmm. Nobody asked me, man.
No, and perhaps it's for the best. From gay groups to Rush Limbaugh, McGreevy has been praised for coming out of the closet, but it was the normally tough New Jersey voters who spoke loudest, giving McGreevy a 2-point bump in the polls to a respectable 45% approval rating.
Bump?
41%.
That's a wonderful bump I just received.
Excuse me, gorgeous. How about a bump?
41.
Can I get that bump in my rump?
41% said they were surprised to learn the state's chief elected official is gay. McGreevy was forced to resign as governor when an advisor allegedly tried to blackmail him for millions of dollars. Shortly after that revelation, the advisor decided not to file a sexual harassment lawsuit. The advisor, who denies being gay, says McGreevy repeatedly came on to him. That's why the advisor says he had to go public one way or another.
voters are divided along party lines as to whether the Democrat McGreevy should resign, but well over half of all voters think there may be other skeletons in McGreevy's now open closet.
McGreevy is McGroovy.
Yes. Do you have a grievance against McGreevy? Regardless of party lines, just about everybody's favorite political joke right now is, "Hey, John Kerry, why the long face?"
Oh, hey, hold on.
I like that joke.
I get jokes.
Dozens of conservatives have been speculating out loud that Kerry has Marfan syndrome.
Is that what Dennis Murphy has?
No. That he has Mobius syndrome.
Is it Marfan syndrome with the
guy?
Beautiful lady from Chicago.
Isn't that the thing that the kid in Mask had?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I'd have to check.
That was just a movie, Mike.
Oh, okay.
But I think what he had in the movie with they were portraying was Marfan syndrome.
That may have been.
That kid had the Vish forehead, I'll tell you that. That kid had the Herman Munster, or as Tom would say, human monster head.
Rocky Dennis.
Well, what is Marfan syndrome?
Well, here we go. The symptoms are long arms and legs and a stretch.
I thought it was if you were a fan of Marv Albert.
Yes.
That makes sense. But no, it's a long arms and legs, a stretched looking head. Another symptom is heart trouble.
I'm Mr. Red.
Heart trouble.
What are you doing?
Yeah,
long face.
Obviously.
A horse face. Oh, get out of here, Rob.
Another symptom is a heart trouble that can only be kept at bay by staying active, as Kerry does with his hockey and windsurfing. The right-wing message, of course, is that a vote for Kerry is a vote for a heart attack.
Oh, God.
So a New York paper asked Dr.
They are so desperate.
A New York paper asked Dr. Mary Roman at Presbyterian Hospital about that. She says Kerry is far more active than what she recommends for her Marfan patients. And
does he have it, though? Can't they just check that?
Well, I mean, I don't know if anyone's asked the campaign directly, and if they have, the campaign has not answered, so yeah, people are left to speculate.
Don't get so worked up about it.
You are a little bit. You started to a little bit. It's only
You're
August.
Right.
It's only August.
Right.
This rhetoric is going to continue.
Right.
Here's what I don't get.
My worked up is not right wing or left wing. My worked up is journalism.
Lazy
when this comes out, you actually, every candidate, I believe, has to have, who runs for Senate, you have to have your tax history and your medical history. Documented, so there's an easy way to know whether he has this or not.
The Republicans also say he's genetically predisposed to halitosis.
The breath is horrible. I don't have access, or I would ask, and it hasn't been in any of his medical reports so far, but there have been other public figures in the past who have had medical conditions that have been kept from us. So there's no way of knowing at this point. But you're right. Some non-lazy journalist should get on to that.
I would think that they would ask the question and it would be over before it would begin.
That's what you would think. But as it is, we're all left to speculate. This particular doctor...
Excuse me, all of you guys. I was going to say, it's only August. It's Elvis' death day, whatever
right. yeah.
today's date is. The election isn't for three more
16th,
months.
Yeah.
As well as if somebody who supports the guy with the Mobius face...
The long face. Right, Marfan syndrome.
Right. I have to tell you the truth. I am a little concerned that it's as close as it is.
The polls,
More and more I'm seeing, even when Bush goes down to Florida, which he has to do to look presidential,
sure,
the guy still looks like a dope. He's just such a dope on wheels down there with his
dope
with,
on wheels.
With his brother, you know, how are you? It's a tough thing. You know,
it's funny, on. You're talking about the president. You say he's a dope on wheels, and it's Dion W. I just thought of that right now.
It seems so obvious to me the guy is just a freaking dope. We're discussing how bad Kerry looks physically.
I don't know if I've said this to you. I have a theory that
But it's still so close, Bush can win.
But I have a theory on this that I think that the polls are not necessarily relevant in this particular go-round.
I agree.
Because of the war and everything else, I really think that most of the country, not most of the country, but I think a much larger group of people feel a certain way about this election, but they're not necessarily talking about
not talking
it. It's
about
like people that listen to this show, you know? I have a feeling from the way I hear people, everybody I talk to, but yet when people really get pinned down on it, they don't want to stand behind
say.
Public.
A lot of people who I think I know politically and
right.
like rail about Bush and everything,
yep.
When push comes to shove, who are you going to vote for? Well, Bush. It's like, even after saying yes.
See, I find the exact opposite is true.
See, Mike, you're saying it's like the preseason of the election. They're running a very vanilla offense right now.
I don't know. I think, you know what I think? I'm going to tell you what I think right now. I think it's going to be a landslide, and I think it's going to be a landslide for the challenger and
wow.
the incumbent.
Wow, that's quite a prediction.
I really do believe so.
You know,
when I say landslide, I mean it's going to be a significant victory.
Gotcha.
I think it could be Bush by like 6%.
Mm-hmm.
I really think it'll be that close. I'm just amazed that more people, what I was trying to tell you, don't get worked up about that. We're so far away from the election.
Yeah. And so much happens in
if they're
now.
Starting the rhetoric now about who's uglier, who's got the long face.
Right.
It seems to me, now I'm getting worked up, so I'll stop it.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be incredible that it's still as close as it is, and that in a lot of polls I'm reading, and people I'm talking to, they're saying, you know what? Bush ain't so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Bush ain't so bad.
Who's saying that?
Do you want names?
Yeah, no, you must be talking to a different set of people. Because everybody I talk to is saying, hey man, I'm going to vote for Kerry. And I have a lot of trouble finding, but the old people that I taught that have always felt the same way, those are the people that are sticking with Bush.
Mm. Well, I don't know. I must be hanging around with the wrong people. But all they're saying to me is that they're going for Bush no matter what happens.
Oh, those people.
Oh, wow. You know, people like my neighbors, Mike.
Oh, yes.
People like my neighbors.
Yes, yes, those people.
Those people. But actually, people who, people who eat with their hands as well.
Ah, well, yes.
Like Elvis have said to me.
Well, that's the group then. The people that eat with their hands and then those people.
I'll give you, my mailman, Chris, is the perfect example.
Okay.
Now, here's a guy. He certainly is not like this.
No. Hand eater?
No. Mafila's certainly. I think he might be a hand eater.
Right.
But either way, he's a pretty knowledgeable guy. And when we chat about stuff, he's always saying what a jerk Bush is and Bush did this and Bush. And, you know, again, today it was, well, who are you going to vote for? Well, I'm going to have to go for Bush.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Stand up. I realize I'm arguing with my mailman, but he should be voting for Kerry. And maybe he will, and I don't know why he's telling me he's going to vote.
Well, I mean, it's a long time. You don't know. I mean, I don't think anybody really knows right now. And that's just my thing is just a hunch. It's just something that I feel. I felt that way for a long time.
You also felt that the Boston Red Sox would win the American League East by at least two games this year, and you're now 12.5 games out.
All right. Okay. All right.
I'm willing to talk about that.
I just feel like you're not 100% on the winning team yet.
Mike, what do you want me to say?
I feel deep down inside.
I swear on my son's life,
right.
I'm voting for Kerry.
No, I know you are. I know you are, but I just remember the last election, you know.
What, because I voted for the dumb guy?
I just don't quite trust you on
what, this. If I swear on my kid's life, that's not good enough for you?
No, it's not a question of that. It's a question of, you know, the whole thing.
What?
The whole thing.
Push comes to shove,
you know.
Push comes to shove? What have I told you? I'm voting for Kerry.
I understand.
So who's pushing to shove?
No, it's just you should hear your rhetoric. It goes both ways.
Mike, it is
tough to get a read on you.
It is only because
I'm voting for Kerry, but a guy who's really well informed is voting for Bush. You know, I mean, you're playing both halves of Gunther Miller. I want total propaganda on this show.
No,
like all the other right wings.
Listen, Christ.
Now, hey, you're tired too, so don't get worked up. All right, don't get angry.
It just. There's an awful lot of people out there who are for the dumb guy, and I think you got to realize that.
No, there aren't. I disagree.
I'm kidding.
I'm kidding you. Oh. I'm kidding you.
See, now you're
there are an awful lot of people that are for the other guy.
You're a funny one. Because
yes.
Now you're getting me worked up after I told you not to get worked up.
That's just true.
You're
that's
a funny
true.
One.
I am a funny
very
one.
Clever.
Very
hold
stinky.
On. And hold on. Here's something about that face thing. Dave.
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
Don.
Yes.
Buzz, Rob A?
Yeah.
Come on, we're all
go.
Here.
I know you're all here. The disease marl one is the one that Abraham Lincoln had. It's the elongated limbs and the long face.
That Lincoln had.
That's speculation, and I was going to get to that, but thanks.
now you pissed
and,
off
and
Buzz.
And now Buzz is all working.
And it's Marfan, not Marwan. I thought he said Marmon.
I thought it was Marsafan.
Hey, what town did your mom live in?
she's not around anymore.
Well, what town did she live in before she died?
Baltimore.
No, wrong. What town do they still pull your mom out in and dig her out of the grave and have fun with her?
Orville.
There
Thank you.
He knew it all along. He was just being difficult.
Yeah. Thank you.
Shame about
Thank
his
you.
Mom.
See you later.
She died
Bye.
Choking.
Bye-bye.
She what?
She died choking. It was a horrible death.
Oh, God. Because she took her sleeping pills before she ate.
No, that's not it.
Okay.
What is it?
All right, there you go.
Tell you in the break.
Okay.
God.
What is he? I don't get it. I really don't get it.
Yeah, that's
what oh, okay.
He couldn't explain it to you in our new condensed.
Oh, I got you. Okay, right. So she was, I get you.
Yes, yes.
She was,
right.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, yes.
Hi.
Hi. About this Dr. Mary Roman at New York's Presbyterian Hospital, she says Carrie's far more active than what she recommends for her Marfan patients, and that he doesn't wear thick glasses, which most Marfan patients have to do, because vision trouble is another symptom, and Carrie doesn't wear glasses of any kind.
Too bad we can't get him in real big, thick Urkel glasses.
Hey, Dick, let's do this. Let's put out a story about him dying. We won't vote for him if he's dying.
Worst case scenario, and here comes the surprise ending, Abe Lincoln may have had Marfan, but hey, that's not been proven one way or another.
I just heard some guy call and say that, Buzz.
Yeah, rumors, Jack.
Some guy whose dead mom gets unburied in... never mind, I'm tired.
Okay.
Can I mention, over this weekend, in less than 36 hours, I drove over 1,000 miles.
Right.
Put together my kids' IKEA crap. It is... goddamn college thing.
You look tired when I saw you first thing today.
Hey, thanks, Mike.
What? I'm just saying you look tired. Don't pick on me.
Thanks. I'm not picking on
I'm fine.
I'm not. You're the one that's over there rubbing your head. Got a headache today, don't you?
No.
Yes.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
Why'd you ask for aspirin?
I take an aspirin every day, and I forgot to take it every day.
To prevent. Why were you rubbing your head?
When was I rubbing my head?
During a break.
It's a relaxation
Leave
technique.
Me alone.
Is that
direct your fatigue at him?
Is that part of your
get mad at him?
Is
what
that part of your Marfan syndrome?
It's my Marfan, my yeah. long face and my thick glasses.
Headaches. Don't forget your thick glasses.
I don't have a trace of a headache today. I swear to God.
Okay.
I don't have a headache.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Okay. Really. Okay.
Okay. Really. Okay.
Now I'm not mad, I'm just goofy tired.
Okay, I know you're goofy tired.
I'm just right. goofy tired.
Directed at somebody else.
Why? I'm looking right at you.
You're picking on me.
Picking
on me, tired boy. I'm not going to be a victim. I will not be ignored, Dan. I will not be a victim of your fatigue. I've done nothing wrong.
Okay.
I'm fine.
Except that thing about Carrie.
Okay, yeah, I know.
No, I'm kidding.
I understand.
I'm kidding.
Or are you?
No, I...
Oh, that's...
that's, no, that's what gets him mad.
Yeah, now you're pissing me off. Because I'm on your side. No. I'm on your side with that more than you know.
I know you are.
You know, come on, stick with a winner and win with a stick.
I know.
Just be advised. A lot of dumb people like the other guy.
Well, see, what I want, though, is not that. What I want is total propaganda. That's how strongly I feel about it. So I have to keep myself in check to be objective.
That's right. Because
I totally agree with what you're saying. There are plenty of people that like the other guy. Just don't talk about it.
Okay.
It drives me nuts when you talk about it.
Don't yell at me, please.
A lot of people.
Don't yell at me.
I know a lot of people like
the...
A lot of people like
yell at me.
And really, when I wasn't rubbing my head, I was just making the George W. Bush face.
That's what drives me nuts.
This is a very important election,
yes,
in my opinion.
Well,
in
a lot of people's opinion.
I get a little too partisan. Anything said good about the other guy drives me nuts. God, I got a headache.
Here's some propaganda music for you.
Yeah, right. Wrong team.
Funny you can play that.
Wrong team. Wasn't that from the California gubernatorial election?
Funny you should mention that.
Why?
Because after the break, we'll talk about the Arnold Schwarzenegger urinal cakes.
Hey, there you go.
That worked out well. We were kind of doing that at once.
Now, look at this. Now, there's something, Buzz, we can all agree on.
Oh, God.
Even the boss, you just rubbed your head again.
Yeah, I need him to leave.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
We think Bill O'Reilly's alone.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
When I said, I mean...
They always play the tard card.
Hi.
Don and Mike.
No, he's not retarded.
Tomorrow on the show, Sheila Shanghai.
Baby.
Sounds like a porno name.
I love that name.
She's from the D.C. area. She won $77,000 on some WB show, and now in a week she'll go for $777,000.
Wow.
Plus tomorrow, the Reverend Gerald Apoli, he speaks to Jesus. He'll have messages from JC to us.
Boy, do I have questions for him.
Yeah. And Rupert from Survivor. I know, who cares?
Yeah, no big whoop.
But it's a chance for Infinity executive Michael Hughes.
Hi, Dom.
To do an actual interview.
Hey, Rupert, how are you?
It'll be nice. It'll save all your listeners' trips to a theme park.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Six Flags.
Great America, wherever it is at.
Yeah, thanks a lot for coming out to the park. The beard looks good, Michael.
Thank you. It makes me macho, doesn't it?
Michael Hughes, one of our bosses, has grown a goatee, and no one has had... Well, I'm goofy tired. I'll say it. No one's had the nerve to tell him, hey, dude, shave.
Hey, it looks good on you, though. Why don't you put some cream on it and have the cat lick it off? Nice beard, Michael.
Now, here is Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
It's been discussed by people nearly as much as the Iraq War, Michael Moore's movie Fahrenheit 9/11. It would be hard to believe the movie didn't have some kind of impact on the upcoming presidential election, especially now that it's coming out on video nearly a month.
There's Michael Moore now.
Nearly a month before Election Day. It'll be out on VHS and DVD. The movie, it was announced today, released October 5th, 2 days before my birthday.
Whose beard looks better, Michael Hughes or Michael Moore?
Michael Moore.
Michael Hughes is not that bad.
No.
Michael Moore's beard looks better.
Oh, really? I hate Michael Moore's beard.
I think Michael Hughes, I know that you use the stuff for men to darken your gray.
I used to. As you can see, it's almost snow white. I haven't used it. You know why? Because it burns my chin.
Wow. I'm pretty sure when I looked at Michael Hughes last week, that he's done the same thing.
If I could find some stuff that I could put on my beard to make it darker and it wouldn't burn my chin, I would color my beard like always.
Mustache wax. Or barbecue sauce.
Barbecue sauce and just have it dry?
Yeah. Well, eventually it would thicken.
If some food is bad, you can... I'm feeling tired.
You are.
It might still burn, though.
Why are you tired? I drove all weekend. Oh, I know why you're tired.
Oh, yeah. I had me a night.
I know why you're tired. I said to Mike... I was going through this, I'll tell you tomorrow, this thing about me driving to South Carolina to take my kid to college. I said, goddamn Sunday morning, I had to get up at 5 o'clock. Mike said, 5 a.m., I was just calling it a night.
Yeah, just calling it a night on Saturday. Hey, but Sunday, I should be fine, because SAD.
What's that?
Sleep all day. What I did Sunday.
You missed church then?
Yes, I did.
Again?
Yeah, unfortunately. Oh, yeah. But that's what the church on TV is for.
That's right.
You had that on as you slept?
Yeah, absolutely. And I make my own wafer.
And don't forget, I pray for you every day.
I appreciate that.
Every day.
Make my own wafer by taking the bread, taking the crust off, and then squeezing it.
A Wonder wafer.
Between my thumb and forefinger.
The wafer turns gray.
And putting it in briefly in the oven, putting it under the broiler, and eating it.
Just browned, then browned again.
And then I receive just a little barbecue sauce.
I say my own mass.
A guy... Hi.
Hello, Buzz.
A guy sued by Arnold Schwarzenegger has decided not to play nice after all. John Edgell was one of the men sued by Arnold over a bobblehead doll in Arnold's likeness. In the end, it was decided the doll would be modified to look
less... I say to everyone here today and to all Californians, my oath and you.
Right. The agreement, the settlement, was the doll would be modified to look less violent and that some money would go to charity. It appeared to be
a... Hi, this is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Are you retarded?
A happy settlement for everyone all the way around. But it wasn't. Edgell now says he'll make Arnold urinal cakes and a girly man doll that puts Arnold in a pink dress, lipstick, and eye makeup.
Good for him!
Edgell also has a new slogan for his line of products. Poking fun at politicians is serious business. Support satire, support free speech.
Amen.
No comment yet from the governor.
You know, speaking of Arnold, just a comment... Boy, I'm so tired. I can't even get a thought out. You know, when we did the Elvis thing, it was fine.
I was all hepped up on energy,
and now it's like I'm crashing.
I know.
How many friggin' morons live in this country where Alien versus Predator?
Yes.
I understand there's not a lot of great movies out there.
You got the Manchurian Candidate, you got Collateral, you got a few movies out there.
Alien versus Predator, I've been in the theaters where the attraction has come on, and people have laughed at it.
Yeah, exactly, because it looks so stupid.
Okay, it made, what did it make, $37 million?
Crazy money. I will tell you, I have not been excited about a movie for a long time. I am so ready to go see this movie, Open Water. I want to see
Oh, yeah, right, the new Jaws?
I hope it is not a disappointment. I hope I'm not getting my expectations too high.
I don't want to drop any names, but Joel Siegel said, don't
reveal the ending.
Oh, really?
He did on Good Morning America.
Joel Siegel.
Charlie, Diane, don't reveal the ending of this movie.
Joel Siegel, when a movie needs a good quote.
Joel Siegel.
In sports, Neon Dion could be moving to Baltimore. The Baltimore Sun says the cornerback is thinking about returning to the NFL as the Ravens' nickelback.
Oh, lordy, lordy. Hello there.
Yeah.
Hello there, Brian Billicks. This am Deion Sanders.
Do you seriously think he can still do it?
No.
No?
No. And the Ravens don't need him. Listen, right. The Ravens have the best defense in the NFL this year, last year. They don't need him.
How old is he now?
37, and he hasn't played in 3 years now.
No, you don't need him. You got Ed Reed back there. You got Ray Lewis. You don't need him. Don't bring him in to disrupt that team. Ray, that's what his friends call him.
Yeah, okay? Don't call. You're not his friend, so you can't call him Ray.
Yeah, that is. Mr. Lewis.
Finally, the American Bar Association does not allow lawyers to have sex with their clients. It happens, but it's against
the
rules.
Stay cool.
It's not against the rules in Canada. Now the Canadian Bar Association has voted again to keep it that way. There was a proposal to severely limit sexual relationships between lawyers and clients, but the proposal was voted down over the weekend at their annual convention in Canada.
Doug, I still want you. I just want you to know that. I still want you, Doug.
And I
want
to say to Steve Lerman, keep the secret, my precious love.
And Joe Coyne, thank you for that special weekend.
Keep the secret, Steve.
Quoting one lawyer, who are we to impose a prohibition on falling in love?
Right on.
In a cynical attempt to be clever, I could say something about Canadian lawyers doing to their clients legally what U.S. lawyers do to theirs painfully.
Oh.
I would just say, if there was a tree, I would go out with my penknife. I'd put DG loves LF.
Oh, no.
That's me, Donnie G. And
oh, there you
Linda,
go.
Linda Feldman.
Oh.
Lawyers in love. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Jackson Brown. Yeah.
Great Jackson Brown song. LF.
Yeah. Baby.
Yeah.
All right, that's it. We got to go.
Go home and get some sleep.
Yeah. You too.
Hello.
Let's see, tomorrow. I just read this one.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, the girl who wins money on TV.
Gumby B. With a porn star name.
Yes, the guy that talks to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows, maybe Rupert, or as Beth Ann wrote it down, Rupert, R-U-B-E-R-T.
Rupert. Well, she's been working back with Joe for a couple of months now.
From Survivor, that's tomorrow, plus the weekend recap we didn't get to today. Elvis is still dead.
Yeah.
You know that. Mm-hmm. Good day to you, sir.
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 How about that election, Mike?
How about it, Don?
Please stay tuned for simply the finest nighttime radio show in America. The great Ron and Fez are coming up next on WJFK FM, Live 105 FM, and 1010 The Buzz AM. So that's it. We'll see you tomorrow. You?
Are you straining at stool?
Goddamn right I am. Thank God the Packers are on tonight in high def.
Don't stay up too late.
No. With them, who wants the whole thing? I'll call you. Eat your lettuce.
Eat a lot.
Till we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been to. And let it be swinging.
It's the Don and Mike Show.
Too busy to meet new friends? The WJFK Dateline can change your life. Log on to WJFK.matchlink.com.
WJFK's Don and Mike Show is brought to you by our partner AOL for broadband.
Thanks, Ted. Today there's a 50% chance of rain.